listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Nothing but the finest herbs, my dead mother's stuffing, and fresh garlic from a real garden. Okay, now note the juice which flows from the initial incision.
Eating duck, damn it.
What was that?
Spencer.
What?
Space herpy.
That's disgusting! How long have you known about this?
First
couple
we've
of
heard
days.
Of it. Couple of days.
And you didn't tell us about it? That's unforgivable. How could you do a thing like that?
It's really not that dangerous.
That's not what I've been told.
Hey, it's Bud Helbert, and I'm gonna sing a song for you. And Bill's gonna show you a thing or two. You'll have some fun now. With me and all the gang, learning from each other while we do our thing.
Na-na-na, gonna have a good time.
Hey.
Na-na-na, gonna have a good time. Na-na-na, gonna have a good time.
Well, if it isn't the South Bay's finest. What happened, Mike? Did they take away your rooms?
You see, this is the kind of scum you're gonna have to get used to around here. Jeff's new to the force, so I'm giving him the tour. He's also my new partner, so you're gonna be seeing a whole lot more of him.
Wonderful.
Yeah, you're gonna like it here, Jeff. The air's clean, the women are beautiful, and the ships are short. You know, most of the folks here in Las Playas are hardworking, with a future in mind. With the exception of these two clowns, they're part of the don't let this happen to you crowd. A word of warning, my garbage-toting friends, from your friendly neighborhood peace officer. I've got my eye on you both. If you're not breaking the law now, the smart money says that it's only a matter of time before you will. And you can bet that last dollar that my ass is gonna be there to make the bust. Golf clap? Golf clap.
We'll be right back.
Sacred things in this world that you don't ever mess with. One of them happens to be another man's fries. Now you remember that, and you'll live a long and healthy life.
Yes, words to live by. Hey, everyone! Hey, it's Friday! Welcome to the show! Episode 150 of Nowhere Mulberry. 150.
Holy cow.
Hey, Steven! Steven the Pop Culture Zealot! Episode 150.
We made it. We can quit now.
Yes, we can. 150
Wait, was it
shows?
Was that the goal, or was there more?
You can go ahead and quit, Steven.
Okay. I'm trying to think, how long ago was it that we did episode 100? It took a long time to get to 50, because, you know, breaks here and there. We also have here Mulberry Bill. Hey, Bill!
I just took a drink of tea, so...
How are you doing, Bill?
I'm committing podcast no-nos left and right. I'm crazy.
Oh, ah!
Drinking.
Let's go back to Steven. Steven, where you been this week?
Hey!
Tell me when you're ready. I'll come back to you.
I'm ready.
Hey, we have here Mulberry Bill. How you doing, Bill?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Great. 150 shows, and we have nothing to show for it. No, I lie. We have plenty to show for it.
We have 149 shows to show for it.
We have lots of listeners that love the show, right? And give lots of feedback.
We've had some good emails this week of concerned listeners saying, you know, hey, we're here.
Listeners.
We may not pop on the forums, but we're here.
Yeah. I mean...
I think they were worried. I think they thought we were going to quit or something.
You know, what you need is someone to tell you why you're doing this. Some weeks it doesn't matter. You're going, you're watching a lot of shows, and we're ready to do the show and we have fun. But some weeks we're not as enthusiastic, and it helps to have that one person say, I love the show, I listen to it all the time at work, it fills my day and all this. And that's enough. You're like, okay, that's why I'm doing the show. Thanks for reminding me. This week we had a couple of listeners tell us that, and it's great. And
we did, and it's hard, though, because... You know, Swiley posts on Friday, so you got to like wait all week for Swiley's excellent feedback,
yeah.
And then it's that energized that you just need to move on with the show for that day.
Yeah, we put the show out actually a week later. A day late. Actually, usually I release it on Tuesday, but instead it was like Tuesday night. So that was because we had Monday off and, you know, I had my family. I didn't have time to mess with the show, so it was kind of a day late. But it was late last night yesterday. I was like, Bill, nobody deserves a show. We haven't heard anything. Does anyone even heard the show? But then, you know, we get over that quickly.
Did you do anything fun for MLK Day?
Yeah, just spent time with family. Nowhere, we didn't go anywhere specific or anything.
You know, the worst thing, when I was a kid, I never had off at the schools that I went to for Martin Luther King Day.
Right. Well, see, I always worked in retail. It always pissed me off. Everyone would have those kind of holidays off. But if you're in retail, you work on those days.
I work.
That big MLK holiday sale.
Yeah.
If you want to call it working, I flew into Iowa and drove up to Waterloo and...
Hell, that's a job in itself.
Now, didn't you say that Iowa is colder than Minnesota?
It was pretty cold this week. It was down in the single digits.
See, whenever it's like a winter setting, I can always think, I don't think Christmas scenery. I always think John Carpenter's The Thing when it's like snow everywhere and that thing running through the snow.
You wouldn't like it where I live when it snows and it's dark.
It's
creepy out in the middle of nowhere.
So basically it'd be a bad time to go, hey, let's watch John Carpenter's The Thing with the lights out, Bill.
The only thing at night, the only thing you can see is probably about like 5 miles away from my place is a cell phone tower. So it's got one of those big bright red lights that flash at night. That's about the only thing you can see in the darkness, that or the moon.
So it's kind of like your nightlight in a way?
Yeah, it is. Some nights when the moon's full, it's so bright outside. It's amazing.
Golf clap. Golf clap.
Up. Nice. Love the golf clap. But I wanted to say, while we're talking about listeners, I wanted to say something real quick. Is yesterday, Bill, I got a belated Christmas present from one of our listeners, Sean Yamashiro, from Honolulu. And he sent me and Steven.
I don't remember if I ever sent him my address, honestly. I may have not done that. Just slipped my mind. Maybe I thought he was a stalker. I don't know. But now that you got something, I'm like, shit, hey, where's mine?
Hey, it's great. You know you've arrived when you have a stalker, but I don't believe Sean's a stalker. He just say he sent us a Christmas card and Best Buy gift cards. Me and
that's
Steven.
Awesome.
And he sent a nice letter saying how much he loved the show. And he says this, which I think is hilarious and actually cool, is he's been listening since the Heroes Name segment we did on a Heroes podcast.
Oh, God, yeah.
So he listened to that Heroes podcast and heard us and started listening to our show. So it was worth it doing that crappy thing. I mean, honestly, I thought it was really nice for somebody. I mean, that was when Heroes first started. And it was
right.
Like, this show is interesting. You know, what's going on? It's all mysterious. It's really cool. You know, it kind of captured your imagination. And I looked around and there were no Heroes podcasts, but I saw on the Heroes forum, so nerdy. They were like, hey, we're going to put together a Heroes podcast. Anybody wants to contribute? And I was like, I do a podcast. I can contribute any way you want. And of course I lost interest after that one segment we did, but,
yeah, they asked us to do more and we,
well, hell, it was worth it if we got a listener, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
I love his last name, Yamashiro. It makes me think of Space Cruiser Yamato, you know, Bill?
God, I love that.
So, Sean Space Cruiser Yamashiro. How? That's a good nickname, right?
There you go, Space Cruiser.
What was Yamato called in the States? Didn't they change the name?
The Yamato.
Okay.
They just called the show Star Blazers.
Star Blazers, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, but Space Cruiser.
Because it was, and, you know, you look it up now and everything is, you know, Yamato, whatever. There's
right.
So many different.
I always knew it as Star Blazers. Oh, Star Blazers coming on after school. I got to run home, you know. I was like 15 minutes late as the show was on. Damn it. But thanks, Sean. I really appreciate that.
Yeah,
that's
thanks.
So cool. You didn't have to do that. But if you want to do that every year from now on, I will not argue with you. And thank you very much. You know, some listeners like Izzy, and we have another listener, a guy, Rick, who wrote me saying that they would have no problem paying $1 per episode for the shows. You know,
that's a great idea.
I don't know if we'd ever outright charge people for it.
No.
But feel free to pay $1 every time a show comes out.
Or go back and listen, like, how many shows have you listened to? Just send us $1 for each show you've ever listened to.
Yeah. And you know what's really cool is this week we had the inauguration. We have a new president. And I thought that – I watched that stuff all day. I thought it was really cool. And now in this day and age of HD, like every channel, it's an HD, Bill. I thought it was really interesting and really cool. It felt like something special. I watched this thing on Fox News. Okay, first of all, they run out of things to say they're important eventually. All of a sudden, they're talking about they're sporting lovely J. Crew outfits. And you know,
he's wearing a J. Crew tie.
Yeah, then it's time to change the channel. But not before I saw this on Fox News. Let's check this out.
We also need to be affectionate, and you can see that with Barack and Michelle as mm-hmm. well. They do a lot of touching, kissing, even fisting with one another. And when they kiss one another, if you notice, they actually look at one another and kiss each other on the lips.
How does she
and
know
that
this
is
information?
So very important because couples really.
She has a
like
hidden camera in their bedroom.
Bonded to one another.
Now, what she meant was death.
Maybe they walk with like a kind of a.
A
gate after a good night of fisting.
Well, honestly, what this honky lady, this white lady, meant was knuckles. You know, hit bumping knuckles with somebody.
Yeah. Bumping fists.
She called it fisting, which is the wrong term to use.
Which they did a lot of in Army of Two.
Anybody ever explained that to her later
well,
on?
Well, yeah, the reporter, I didn't have it on the clip, but she goes, what do you mean by fisting is this? And she hits knuckles with her. She goes, yes. And it's like, you guys, just lady. I would say, let's cut and let's redo this segment, but it was live TV, so what are you going to do? So now it's all over the internet. You're screwed, lady.
Even fisting.
That's right. You got to work. That's a balanced diet.
I hear they're into water sports, too.
Awesome. Now, we have a voicemail here from Barbecue Galore. Is it Barbecues Galore or just Barbecue Galore? Well, let's find out.
I know there's an actual store called Barbecues Galore, but I think he just uses Barbecue Galore in the chat room sometimes.
Let's check it out.
Hey, Barbecues Galore here.
Ah.
Well, I agree that Saturn Girl on Smallville sounded like she had a lisp or something. But she's Canadian, she's a singer, and she's also cute, so you got to forgive her.
Oh, yeah.
That's all. Have a good one.
She also had an ass that wouldn't quit in those red pants, right, Steven?
That's right.
She could get inside my mind any day. Or she'd be naked.
Yes, golf clap. That's right. Now, Bill, the Oscars were announced this week. And, man, talk about, like, just...
bullshit nominations?
Oh, just not anything that got me excited. But, I mean, I thought
it's it's so typical Academy fuddy-duddy horse crap.
Well, the one thing I got to honestly say that I was surprised at is that The Dark Knight was not nominated for Best Picture. I really thought it was going to happen because everyone's talked about that. It seemed like it was just a given. And
yeah, that's one of them comic book movies. It's no Best Picture.
But, I mean, I guess... I don't know, but one thing is Heath Ledger was nominated, but here's the way I feel, Bill, being that Heath Ledger was nominated for Best Supporting Actor, which I think he deserved because he was great in the movie, it almost feels like it's a charity nomination because the movie wasn't actually nominated.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, I may be crazy there. But
no, you're absolutely right.
Now, do you have this list in front of you of the Best Pictures nominations?
I do. I do.
Okay, now name those real quick.
Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay. I know all of those movies except for The Reader. What the hell is that?
The Reader is a Kate Winslet film where she's a... I think a tutor to a kid in the 50s during in Germany. It's one of those...
She's in two movies right now, so I'm confused. Yeah. What's the other one? That's what
the other one is Revolutionary Road.
Which one has Leonardo DiCaprio in it?
Revolutionary Road.
Okay, so that's why I was like, what the hell is The Reader? All right, have you seen that movie?
Which one?
The Reader?
Either.
No, but I just got it the other day. I haven't had a chance to watch it.
Well, here's one thing.
But I've watched the other four, and
No, I haven't seen Slumdog Millionaire, but Danny Boyle I love.
I think the best review of the direction for Slumdog Millionaire was poverty porn.
Nice.
It makes poverty look so good.
God, I got to see that. Well, also, David Fincher is nominated for his Forrest Gump. What is the movie called again?
The Curious Case of Forrest, or Benjamin Button.
Yeah, Benjamin Button. Okay.
And that was directed by Robert Zemeckis, though, right?
No, David, it was
David
Fincher.
Okay, David Fincher.
I'm so confused.
Sometimes I can't tell the difference.
No, okay, well, this one, it's about someone who's kind of, they're young, but they're old, but they're kind of crippled, and
they age backwards.
Yeah,
they're born old.
They overcome their handicap to go on to great things, like they go through a war, they fall in love with their child friend, and then lose touch with them. So it's nothing like Forrest Gump. Oh, wait.
No, not at all. They don't have a wise mother that always gives them... a certain saying, like,
a certain mantra or something.
You never know what's coming for you. Life is like a box of chocolates.
Yeah. Hey, wait a second. I'm starting to think something here.
I'm telling you, I watched this movie, and the entire time I'm going, holy shit, this is Forrest Gump.
It's got, someone who, I guess, is ridiculed because they're different. Then they overcome that difference in a way.
They befriend a wise, magical black man.
Right? Like,
it was written by the same guy, Eric Roth.
Now,
the movies are almost identical,
honestly. Yeah,
in Forrest
Gump, he meets Bubba in the war, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or is it in Benjamin Button, it's kind of a mix between Bubba and Lieutenant Dan?
No, in Benjamin Button, he befriends a friend of... How can I say this? He lives with a black woman and a black man who run a old age home. And he befriends the friend of his...
I'm so confused.
He befriends a friend of the man that helps run the old age home.
Okay.
And the guy's like a bushman from Africa. And he's a wise bushman who's, you know, walked and experienced everything.
Everything?
Everything. In fact, he spends the day with Benjamin until he has to go to a whorehouse.
Awesome.
And that's, of course, when Benjamin experiences...
Okay, hey, no spoilers. Can't wait to see it.
It's a well-done movie, but honestly, it's totally and completely unoriginal.
Well, here's one thing you got to say about David Fincher. Always technically excellent.
Right?
And in fact, I would say that about Danny Boyle, too.
Clinical precision to his direction.
Now, what the hell's Opie doing nominated in this?
Yeah, you know what? Frost Nixon, I was talking with Andy of Apocalypse Hollywood.
I mean, Apocalypse
Hollywood. Honestly, Frost Nixon was better as a stage play because it really just kind of the movie plays like a stage play.
Well, let me ask you this: they did this thing where they, first of all, on Rotten Tomatoes, it said it was released today, so they had they released Frost Nixon before New Year.
Oh, in New York and L.A.
Yeah, they kind of cheated. I hate when they do that.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, it looks like an interesting movie.
About next year,
it looks like an interesting movie, but I think it's almost like people who, when you're going to nominate a best film, can't you remember the whole year? Really? You got to remember, oh, I saw Frost Nixon last week. Let me write that on the ballot. You know, it just seems kind of screwy there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a few movies that were, I couldn't say off the top of my head, that I was very disappointed that didn't get.
And I was kind of surprised that they kind of set up Gran Torino to be nominated for something, but it wasn't. But maybe everyone thinks
The Changeling was, which I was shocked.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen that, but I guess everyone thinks, Clint Eastwood has like 100 Oscars. He doesn't need any more. But, I mean, basically, were you underwhelmed by these nominations?
I was incredibly underwhelmed. It kind of made me think, well, you know what? The Oscars, I'm kind of going to pass on this year.
Yeah, I was thinking, should we even do an Oscar show this year, or should we boycott? They didn't nominate.
I think the thing I was most angry about was the nominations for Milk in so many categories. I watched Milk, and you know, it's a tragic story. It's an interesting story. It's a well-made film, but it's certainly not an Academy Award nominated film. Not in the least. Sean Penn was good. And you know what? Maybe he does deserve a nomination.
Sean
he played a gay man very well.
Yeah, he's always fantastic.
It's just not a very good movie.
Now, let me ask you this. The Wrestler, Mickey Rourke, was nominated, but they kind of ignored the movie, didn't they?
That movie should have been nominated for Best Picture. The performances, the direction.
Yeah, they nominated Marissa Tomei and Mickey Rourke, but they didn't...
The movie got skipped, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really, it's not a particularly visual film at all, but the feelings, the way it's shot, where it's shot, like run down New Jersey, it's very emotional.
Now, who directed that again?
Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah, that's right. I can't wait to see that. Was Fat Albert nominated for anything?
No, but it should have been. I especially loved the live-action film.
Awesome. No,
I think people forget about that.
I would say the main films that I want to see, and it doesn't have anything to do with the Oscars, I want to see The Wrestler, and I want to see the Spike Jonze movie.
That's Schenectady.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Schenectady, New York. That's what it's called.
Yes, correct.
I want to see that.
You will.
And was that ignored by the Academy?
Almost entirely. That's more of a Independent Spirit Award type of film.
It gets nominated for the independent type things. And
it
looks really interesting, though.
It's so funny. It's just the nominations are so unoriginal. I mean, art direction, cinematography.
There's
basically you can copy and paste everything.
I mean, I really think it's cool that someone like Danny Boyle's nominated, you know? I think that's cool.
Yeah, and to kind of make up for The Dark Knight not being nominated for Best Picture, they nominate it in almost everything else. Art direction, cinematography, you know.
What about Christopher Nolan? I guess the movie it wasn't a good director.
Film editing. Yeah. It's so... And if foreign language film, Let the Right One In, wasn't nominated. I didn't expect to see JCVD nominated, but it would have been nice.
Oh, yeah. Just, something, maybe a foreign film or something?
Yeah, the foreign language film nominations, there's really only two that deserved it.
You know, I saw that... go ahead.
The Class and Waltz with Bashir were two excellent films, but... I don't know. I was just really disappointed. I'll say it over and over again.
I saw
disappointed.
That Man on Wire was nominated for Best Documentary.
Yeah, that I thought that was
having not
actually
seen,
one of the best films this year.
Having not seen the other documentaries, I mean, it's the only one I've seen, but I love
of all of them nominated, that's the only one I saw.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would be neat if it won, but I'd like to see the other ones because documentaries are always interesting, hopefully.
Yeah.
And
always. But.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and check out What's in Entertainment. We pretty much covered that, didn't we?
You know what I was shocked by? Nomination In Bruges for Best Original Screenplay. I just didn't expect that, or
that was interesting,
mainly because
yeah.
I didn't think it was that good, I guess.
I enjoyed the movie to an extent, but I don't know. It's kind of weird when you watch a movie. This is the way I feel. Either you like it or you don't, usually, but it's not often. Sometimes when you watch a film, think, this deserves some kind of award. This thing was just awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And I felt that way after seeing The Dark Knight.
Yeah, so did
I. So what else are you going to do, right?
Yep. Make our own Oscars.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can control. So.
The Mulberries. We're going to start doing the Mulberries.
Yeah, so. We could give them actual bronzed Mulberries.
And we're going to include podcasting in that, too. No, wait, we'd have to listen to podcasts. Never mind.
Yeah, no way in hell that's happening.
All right, well, let's check out What's in Entertainment. Yeah! Wrong music there, Foggy. Man, I love that music, though, don't you guys?
I do, too. That bass line. We'll have to do that for a ringtone.
Hells yeah! All right, well, this week... Underworld, something is...
The rise of the lichens.
Yes, those lichens, this is when they rose up and couldn't take that shit no more. It's from the vampires.
You know what's so funny is the guy that plays Lucian the Lichen is the same guy that plays...
Lucian the Lichen.
Yeah,
it sounds like
Tony
nice
Blair and the Queen, and he's Frost character in Frost Nixon.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. And what about him, Bill?
It's just so weird that you have this guy that does these, like, stage roles.
Right.
And then there he is in this horrible-looking film, which we actually have asked for. When I first saw the original Underworld, the most interesting part of it for me was the backstory.
Right.
And I was like, this movie would have been really good if it had more backstory. Now they decide to do a whole movie of backstory.
Yeah.
And it's like, too late?
Right. Well, if it wasn't for the second one totally being an incoherent mess.
Oh, the second one was just atrocious.
That's disgusting!
Yeah. Well, then they released the third one no one asked for. But awesome! I bet it'll look great on Blu-ray, though. But they also... what's this new movie called? Inkheart! With the Brendan Fraser?
I thought that thing came out a long time ago, but I guess I'm mistaken.
This shit has been on the shelf for a long time, I think.
There was a movie that came out not long ago. And I can't think of it. It's another one of those,
not
like...
not Lionheart. It's Inkheart!
...book and comes to life or something. I don't know.
I do love that actor, and I can't remember his name, so now I just feel foolish.
He's Brendan Fraser?
No, Paul Bertrand?
Paul Bettany.
Paul Bettany, yeah. I love that guy. I think he would be great. That's the guy I wanted to play Constantine in the movie.
Oh, right? Man, he would have been perfect.
Said there, Keanu, I'm Constantine. I smoke.
He was the voice of Jarvis, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I love him. He's got a great voice. I hope he gets more work in, other than stuff like Inkheart!
He was good in that.
I would go see this if there's one moment with a black guy laying on the ground and he yells, Inkheart! Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm sold.
And then, like, Brendan Fraser's kicking Paul Bettany's ass with kickboxing and shit. Awesome. Yeah.
He's gonna kill your ass!
He's gonna kill your ass! Don't you know that? He's gonna kill your ass!
Damn it, this dude's gonna kill your ass. Don't you know that?
Yes, he does. All right, well, that's what's happening in entertainment. Now, what other movies are coming out, Bill? Anything soon? Like, what comes out in the next few weeks? We're going to have to wait.
Well, I want to see Push, which comes out next week.
With Chris Evans from Fantastic Four, he played Johnny Storm. Honestly, I think he's the best thing.
The more I see Chris Evans and stuff, the more I like him.
I honestly think he's the best thing about the Fantastic Four movies because he's just the comic character. He's great in that role.
Yeah, he's great, and he is freaking fantastic in Sunshine.
Right, he is. And he's in this movie. Explain what you know about Push.
I guess it takes place in Hong Kong. And it's a three young people with special abilities are pursued by like a CIA or government agency who wants to basically use them as weapons. So I think he's like trying to protect a real strong one, which is a young girl.
And basically, they all have powers, like, are they mutants or something like that from, like, comic books? Or
I haven't got that from anything. I don't know. I honestly
do not
know.
What it looks like is him and Dakota Fanning have powers, and there's also the evil...
Yeah, and Camilla Bell was a real attractive girl.
Right, and it's got evil Jaimin Hunsu in it, right?
Yeah, it does.
The evil Jaimin Hunsu. He's got powers.
Yeah, I think it's gonna it should do well. I think in limited release, Fanboys is finally coming out.
Get out of here. That movie, that's just a myth. That's like dry land in Waterworld.
No,
man.
February 6th, it says right here, Fanboys, so I think it's a limited release.
Get a limited
release. Probably New York and LA.
And they're releasing, they're giving it the release like God, I can't remember what the hell I'm gonna say. Stuff.
The half-assed, okay, here's your theatrical release, now we'll put you on DVD in a month. Is that what your brain sounds like right now?
No, I was going to say, they're giving it the Boondock Saints release, where it's released in like two theaters and then it goes to DVD, which it should have been released on DVD like a year ago.
Should have. I think it probably would have been more successful if they just would have put it on DVD.
I know, because I want to hear this. Okay, basically what I heard is this. They shot the movie. It had a lot of problems in editing. They got different people to try to save the movie. Then decided we need to do reshoots. Then had to wait a long time to do those reshoots because the cast was doing other things. Kristen Bell was doing Heroes or whatever. Then finally they do the reshoots, and then Harvey Weinstein releases that thing about how we're going to take the heart and soul out of it and just make it a balls and dick movie or whatever. Everyone's like, no, all these Star Wars nerds.
And don't take the cancer out.
Don't take the cancer out. So then we have this, and that was like a year ago, by the way. A year has passed, and now they're finally releasing it in limited release. This movie is going to suck.
Yeah, you know what? They're going to release the movie in its original version, and everybody's going to see it and go, no wonder they
didn't
tried to get this thing. You know, the real version of Fanboys would be that they travel all across the country trying to see The Phantom Menace. They finally see it, and then the kid with cancer blows his brains out. Because that's what I felt like doing after I saw The Phantom Menace.
Exactly.
Golf clap? Golf clap.
Yeah, golf clap for Fanboys. All right, so let's check out what's on our TiVos!
Thank you.
yeah. Yeah. Hey. What's on our table? All right, we have a lot of shows to talk about, but I wanted to get this out of the way first, that this was a huge TV-watching week for me. Just to give you an idea of what was on the DVR and I watched, I'm going to just list in no particular order. Burn Notice, Smallville, Fringe, Battlestar Galactica, Big Love, 24, Lie to Me, the new show on Fox, Lost, Top Chef, and Flashpoint, that SWAT show on CBS. And not only that, I've been watching Mad Men on Blu-ray, and I love it. So I've watched a lot of shit this week, as you can see.
I was hoping you were going to watch Lie to Me.
Yeah, it was a good show. We'll talk about
it. It wasn't bad.
It was great to see The Mentalist on a different channel. I mean, sorry, The Lie to Me. But, you know, hey, more power to them. You find a formula that works for these shows.
They are so defensive over that Mentalist comparison.
Mentalist...
Have you read some of the interviews where, like, the creator's like, we created this show long before The Mentalist.
The guy who created The Mentalist, everyone's like, it sounds like Psych, dude. And it's like, it's not Psych. It's kind of like Psych, but it's not Psych. So I get that. Basically, here's what we're going to create: a show for NBC, and it's basically about a guy who helps the cops. Okay, he helps the cops. He's not a cop, though, Steven. What he is he's a bureaucrat. Okay, get this: he's a guy who makes sure people sign off on their paperwork whenever somebody's going to arrest somebody. He's there with, oh, ho, ho, you don't have a warrant yet. He's that guy who kind of gets in the way, and actually no crime is solved in every episode. What do you think? He causes nothing to happen. Would you see that show?
The deterrent.
Yeah, the deterrent. Yeah, you like that? We're going to pitch it this week on NBC, Bill. What do you think?
I think we would have millions of dollars after that.
And we're going to get...
That's freaking genius.
I'm looking at Paul Bettany to play it with an American accent. What do you think?
Nice.
That's a good idea, but I think we need someone with an even thicker accent.
Yeah, and he's tried to speak English, though.
We need somebody... We need Colin Farrell.
Yeah, Colin Farrell. This
thick, thick Irish brogue.
Yes, right. He's in Bruges. All right, well, before we get into some big shows here, we've got Top Chef, Fringe, 24, The Return of Lost, Battlestar Galactica, and Smallville, American Idol. I just want to play this one scene here because they have this new chick, right? This new...
Kara.
Kara, if you say so, Bill. I have no idea.
Well, that's the new judge.
Right, the new judge. And
I don't know why I remember that.
She's getting all huffy and pissy here because Simon keeps talking over and just wants her to say yes or no. So listen to her get all in a huff.
You know, you're a cute guy, a little bit more sexy. You really got to say...
Yes or no?
Thank you.
Can I say something?
He just did.
You'll learn you can't. No, I will say what I want to say, and I will say it
you
now.
Already know.
Okay? I don't need him over there telling me.
Fire,
not
fire.
Yes or no?
Dirt to fire.
I'm speaking. What I'm saying is you need to really get your performance up for the if you're going to make it past Hollywood.
Yes or no?
Yes, for right now.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Sounds a little bit egotistical. Watch me on American...
Oh, no,
I'll tell you why.
No, dude.
For confidence.
What?
For confidence.
You know, I've never really, you know, cared about American Idol, but you see outside Ryan Seacrest, they have the stadium full of people.
Oh. Right.
You know, I know it's got to be the greatest job in the world, what they do, but if I looked at that crowd and was like, dude, I am never going home today, I got to listen to all these jackass singers, I think I'd feel like Simon. Like, yes or no, okay, get the next person in here.
Well, sure, especially whenever you have producers that send in these people that are absolute garbage just for television.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, you've got to get tired of getting that and having to suffer through that just to get, like, four or five good people that aren't even that good.
Now, here's something that's interesting. Like the show The Bachelor, you have a lot of hot women competing for a bachelor, which it'll never work out in real life. You're basically on there to be on TV.
Right.
So some of the girls, I would say...
just a fancier dating game is all it is.
Right. And wouldn't you say that some of the women act like total bitches to get more airtime, right? You got to create drama to get the airtime. Well, there's one girl who's not like that at all. In fact, she can't take it anymore and decides to walk out, just to leave during this drama. And I thought it was pretty interesting. But the funny thing about it is when she does that, the other girl's like, oh, Kimmy, oh, look at this bitch. You know, she thinks, who she thinks she is. So let's go ahead and check this out.
For I was really surprised tonight to hear that people had been talking trash about me.
Yeah, ooh, talking trash about somebody on a reality show? I've never heard of that,
Steven. That makes me feel like I need to be a bitch.
Who here has a problem with her? Because obviously somebody does.
I don't think it's like the time or the place to say who has a problem with
who. Dude, all you should be asking is how many of them will have sex with you, all right?
Things that we don't like. It's weird and awkward. I don't have anything to say about any of you when I'm talking to him.
Okay, then this chick, chick gets up and leaves.
I hate it here.
Oh.
I just don't feel good.
Everybody reacts to situations differently.
I've got and diarrhea.
She just was feeling the tension, the nerves.
We had a lot
honestly,
of fried chicken earlier.
I didn't
earlier.
Know she was coming back.
Why can't you just
it's really dry
while
ass
you're
chicken.
Here? Why can't you
stomach's a little upset.
Like, this sucks. This is so
she's a little
hard.
Gassy.
Here out of her mouth. And I'm like, you know what? You ungrateful, selfish, self-absorbed, high-maintenance piece of
wow. You're not a bitch at all. Now, Lie to Me premiered this week with Tim Roth. Love Tim Roth.
Yeah.
I love him back in the days before people think Quentin Tarantino discovered him. No, don't think so. This great movie called Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. Remember that? With
yes.
Gary Oldman?
Very good movie.
Great movie. Love Tim Roth. He's now on a show on Fox where I think it's a very interesting idea where he's a human lie detector. He knows when someone's lying. In fact, he not only knows when someone's lying, he knows when they're hiding something or how they really feel and hiding those feelings. So he has this agency that helps police, you know, discover the truth. Basically, kind of like The Mentalist, only not at all like it, right?
Kind of, but not.
Yeah, that's. I think you're right.
And you got to have these guys kind of quirky, too, kind of like the cop on Life, right, Bill? Got to have them kind of...
Yeah,
you know,
they've got to have a certain quirk to them because it's such a obscure quality.
By the way, the guy on Life, was it Damian Lewis?
Yes.
English, speaking in American.
Very, very English.
Right. It's funny on the Band of Brothers, like if you listen to... Well, I quite like the Band of Brothers. It's like, well, who the hell is this guy? Where's Colonel Winters at? Where did he go? What'd you
Where the hell
did
that voice come from?
Stop pretending to be British.
He's in a, he's in a great accent. Movie that came out this year overseas called The Escapist,
really?
Where he's got his full English voice going on.
Nice. I'd like to see that. I think he's a great
actor. Yeah, it's really good.
He's a very interesting guy. Unfortunately, he was in that movie Dreamcatcher.
Oh, hello.
Oh!
That's right.
Let's check out a clip to Lie to Me.
Looks like guilt to me.
No, it's possible he didn't mean to kill his teacher.
Excuse me?
Could have been an accident.
Okay, I indulged the mayor's office in letting you talk to the kid, but now you're just making wild guesses that have no basis in hard evidence. This was no accident. And personally, I think what you do is a joke.
Whoa.
It's a friggin' carnival act.
Oh, yeah, you know, I get that a lot. You know, a moment ago, I saw you smile at your colleague, flash her a glance, then shift your gaze. She
they lifted that from The Mentalist.
In deep embarrassment.
Cal?
I'll take another wild guess. You two had a fling. She doesn't want a repeat performance because, you know...
You stuck your penis in her!
But you won't move on. Oh, no, no. Keep your fingers off your nose. Men have erectile tissue there. Itches when they're hiding something.
Wow.
Honestly, erectile tissue?
Yeah, I guess so. So that's Lie to Me. And, you know, the funny thing about the first episode is it dealt with a Jehovah's Witness family that was overly protective of their son who's religious. And they kept saying stuff like going to church and stuff. It's like, did they do any research? But maybe they had
the Kingdom Hall people.
Maybe they had to generalize it so the common man understood, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
But
the one that cracked me up was when his daughter's date came over. You're not going to pull any of that stuff on him, are you?
What did she say? Any secret stuff or whatever?
Yeah. And he just came right out and said it.
trying to have sex with my daughter. But that was kind of... Didn't the kid look a lot older than his, like, 10-year-old daughter? She
the
just
girl would look like she was, like, 12, maybe.
It's like, dude, if you're even thinking like that, don't even let her out of the house, man. But I like Tim Roth, and I'll keep watching it. And hell, it's another show in HD to watch, right?
Yeah. And okay. Fox is pretty good HD. I've always been impressed. Whenever a show is actually in HD, unlike the Kitchen Nightmares or Hell's Kitchen, where they use like 480p.
Right. And I think Fox's main thing is 720p. But I got to say this about their football compared to CBS.
Best coverage. Best.
But the picture quality, I think, sucks compared to CBS. I think CBS is a lot better.
Oh, really?
But I don't like the football guys.
I like their camera coverage.
Right. I get what
you're
saying.
I think their camera coverage is better than CBS, but CBS does have a sharper picture.
Right, yeah.
And that's because they shoot on Sony HD cameras.
And hey, if you shoot it on a Sony, shouldn't you watch it on a Sony, Steven?
You should.
What the hell?
No.
No.
I want my paycheck, Sony!
Yeah, I think a Sony 70-inch LCD costs about $30,000. So no, I'm gonna pass. I think I'll go with the Samsung. Thanks.
Okay, let's talk about Top Chef. Yeah, Top Chef, baby. We got Restaurant Wars, man.
I love how much they plug this. Like Restaurant Wars, it's the big deal. This was quite possibly one of the most disappointing Restaurant Wars ever.
It was really laid back. First of all, bring back the guy from the Travel Channel, Anthony Bourdain, like you last season. I thought that was so cool when they said,
God, he's so much better than that Toby douchebag.
We'll have a secret judge, and then all of a sudden Anthony Bourdain shows up, and they're like, oh, shit. But this this year, it's just some guy who's a great restaurateur, but I've never heard of him. Get a TV show, dude. So I know
I heard of him because he has a certain look to him, like a spark plug. And there was a thing on Food TV whenever Morimoto left Nobu and started his process to build Morimoto, the restaurant. And that guy was in it because he basically put the money down for it.
He looks like a spark plug? I'm still hung on that.
Yeah, he's very squat.
Oh, okay.
Like he's got this, like he's got that Long Island Guido fake tan, and he's just got no neck. He's got a distinctive look.
Right, and he didn't really exude much personality. I thought, you know,
no, there wasn't much going on there.
But the funny thing is, Radhika, she's totally rad, dude. Radhika, she like has her restaurant called the Sahana. And she's not a leader, and she wanted to be in the kitchen, but she let Jeff have his way. That's what she said. You could tell, like, she wasn't speaking up for herself. You knew she was screwed.
No.
There's several times that they give you in the show certain inklings to how well someone's going to do. And it's usually moments like that, like, oh, I kind of want to, okay, I'll let you be in the kitchen. You're like, uh-oh, big mistake there. But then we had Leah and Hosea, her buddy. They get to have a group with Fabio, and they were so lucky they got Fabio and Stefan on their team. Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Because, first of all, Fabio, he's, like, so friendly and outgoing with the waiting on him part, the host. Stefan, they can hate him as much as they want, but he's the only...
Yeah, the dude is killer.
And Hosea, I think, probably is talented, but he seems to choke a lot.
He is a major choker. Leah just doesn't have what it takes.
Yeah,
Leah is the one that doesn't do desserts, right?
If you're on a team and you get Stefan, your team will most likely win because of Stefan.
Well, okay, here's another thing. I never understand, or maybe they don't show it, but whoever wins the best palate contest or whatever, Hosea obviously has a fantastic palate, so does Stefan. Have them taste your food before it goes out, because they obviously have great palates, right?
Yeah, and then you'll know if it's salted or seasoned properly, and you don't have to worry about that with the chefs, or, the judges' table,
I should say. It's pretty much inexcusable to send something out there that's not cooked all the way, isn't it? They had 6 hours to make this food, and I know it's complicated and all that, but come on. Really? It's not cooked all the way? You know, just throw it in the oven. Stick it on 450 for 15 minutes.
Sear that sucker.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll taste good, right?
Right.
So the main thing here is Hosea and Leah, they're always flirting or whatever.
Oh.
And I don't know
why.
That
just grosses me out for some reason.
Out of nowhere, they're just like, she's like, I want to lay here tonight. you know, they're being all lovey-dovey. And you know, I have a girlfriend at home. I have a boyfriend at home. But yet, why are you making out on television? Yeah. And I love the next day, it's real weird for them. They're not really.
Yeah, I love how they, in their discussions, they're like, you know, I have a girlfriend, I have a boyfriend, and I hope to return to them. I hope to return to them. You know, it's like
the
exact same thing.
Meanwhile, they can't make eye contact with each other. They just know they made a big mistake. And I love how the camera is like in the window from an odd angle. So it's like,
makes
it's
it
almost
more
like
odd feeling.
Well, it's almost like the guys,
voyeuristic.
The camera people didn't want them to know they were seeing it. It's like, wait,
yeah.
They might make out or have sex or something, so let's be quiet so they don't think they're on camera. You know, something like that. So anyway, it was real odd.
Yeah, they forget
them.
That it's a reality show.
Now let's talk for a minute about Toby, the judge, Bill. Now what's his
Toby Chu?
Toby Wong. No, Charlie Chan. No, who is that guy? The
Toby Young.
Toby Young. And he was...
How to Lose Friends and Alienate People guy.
Right. See, they made a movie based on him starring Simon Pegg.
Yes.
For some reason. Is he really that interesting that they need to do that? But
they
realized that was the guy. And he always has some kind of reference to something as he's reviewing food. And this one, he said, this was a lot like Elvis. It started out promising.
Skyrockets at the beginning.
Yeah, it started out promising, skyrocketed to fame, and then, what was it, died on the toilet.
He dies on the toilet.
Yeah, it's like, oh, ho, ho, ho. And,
I'm so clever and witty. And you see this look on Padma's face, like, where in the hell are you going with this?
Yeah, it's like, okay, dude, you're going to get your moment on the show. But what I think was funny, the most entertaining part was how bad Radhika was at being a host. You just disappear. She's like me at my old retail job where you're helping a customer and then it's kind of disappear, come back. Oh, they're still there. Okay, I'll go back. You know? And they were like, I bet she won't even say goodbye to us when we leave. And they leave and she's not there. Thought that was great. But let's go ahead and check out what happened, Steven. Are you really interested?
Let's go.
Let's check it out.
Pizza Hana was the losing restaurant in this challenge.
Hakuna Tahana.
You're the chef owner. This was your baby. What do you think went wrong, Radhika?
I'm not sure.
Who did what?
Not sure.
Jamie did the braised lamb shank.
That always
and
helps.
And the carrot soup.
Oh.
Jeff did the scallop and the snapper dish. And Carla did both desserts.
The desserts here, I think, failed. Miserably.
Oh, yeah, Carla's desserts, Bill. Yeah.
Carla desserts.
I was trying to do too many things.
But she loves 7-Up.
I was trying to multitask. Instead of taking one dessert, finishing it, you know, doing another one, trying to get the ice cream in.
Did you ask for help?
That's an obscure reference.
Do you need help? Do you need help? They're also in the weeds trying to get their stuff set. Yes, it was a mess. I wasn't happy with what I put out, but I had a good time.
Don't you think it's important that the diner should have a good time, too?
I know. I knew my dishes were going south.
Wow, that reaction.
Point, it really wouldn't help the
diner
if I was in a bad mood.
I know,
so my thing was, I'm just going to send you some love with this stuff that I'm giving you.
How could your enjoyment in part, the enjoyment...
That is my belief, Tom.
Radhika, do you think you should go home with
this? Well, if it's an issue of the front of the house, then it's my fault. And if you want to send me home for that, then I can't really argue with you.
You have a pastry chef, and you see that they're having a hard time doing a dessert. Do you walk over there and say... Let's make a change. Let's do this right now. Or do you just let them kind of go and maybe it'll be all right?
I said, Carla, what do you think? I said, can I help you? And I saw that the yogurt was loose and...
Not help you.
Her voice sounds just like Padma. I'm getting confused.
No, I didn't directly say, okay, let's change it. Let's do this. I didn't do that.
And did you think that somehow this wasn't your responsibility to do that?
No, shut up.
Why wasn't it your responsibility?
I guess at that moment, I just thought we were all on the same level. I wasn't being the leader. I wasn't being the owner.
As a chef owner of a restaurant, you need to follow through on everything.
As a chef owner, you have to assume...
She should really just hide her head in the
job
dirt.
Properly.
Yeah.
Radhika, please pack your knives and go.
Damn! The thing that kind of sucked for Radhika is that she didn't even make any food and she got kicked out.
It's Top Chef, not Top Chef Management.
Yeah, it's not Top Scallops. That was my favorite line from this
episode.
But, yeah.
I was surprised that Jamie didn't make something with scallops.
Yeah, she made her, she's always safe with her soup stuff. Some kind of corn souffle or some
she
shit.
She needs to go next. Well, actually, Carla needs to go. But
I think that Jamie's going to be one of the last ones just because she can make good enough stuff where she doesn't make herself the target. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Yeah, I'm not saying she deserves to be top chef, but I don't think she's going to go for a while.
But Carla should have went this week.
Yeah, I think Carla will be going this next week. Or that Jeff guy. He seems like a talented guy. He overthinks everything, and he's going to eventually go.
He's way too arrogant for his skill sets.
He's too confident, but not focused, as they say, or whatever.
Yeah, I guess. It just, everything he makes is just so... I hate whenever they go, well, I want to only make things with the freshest and best and in-seasonal ingredients. It just comes across so arrogant.
Yeah, did you like
it's
that?
It's like every time with him.
Everyone had to come up with their own restaurant idea. Well, I like seasonal food, and you change with the seasons. Like, oh, really? You too? Like everyone else on the friggin' show? Hey, how about me? I want to open a friggin' Tex-Mex restaurant that has nothing to do with the seasons. We have burritos, we have tacos, we have enchiladas and beans and rice, and that's it. I want my restaurant. But no.
Huevos Rancheros, bitch.
I want to open a seasonal Mexican restaurant. So, yeah.
Burritos aren't in season.
Yeah. I'd like a burrito place. Oh, I'm sorry. Those aren't in season right now. We do have tacos, though.
It is taco season.
It's taco season, everybody. All right, Bill, let's go ahead.
Taco season.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about all the other shows we talk about, including Fringe and Lost and BSG. Let's do it, all right?
It's a stormy night when a bolt of lightning forced me off the road. My car skidded into a government laboratory where a top-secret experiment was underway. I swerved into the path of Dr. Chase's molecular transfer ray, causing me and my car to become one. The incredible Turbo King!
My most outrageous disguise ever. No way, tricks escapes me this time.
Hey, Rabbit, want some tricks?
Huh?
You know, part of your nutrition breakfast.
What's the gag?
I believe all your favorite flavors are here. Orange.
Orange, orange.
Lemon.
Lemony, lemon. Grapey, grape, too. Is this trick a rabbit wink?
Here, enjoy.
I'm finally getting tricks.
Wake up, Rabbit. What's going, Rabbit? Tricks are for kids.
A rude awakening.
S'mores crunch.
It's here. Marshmallows and chocolate graham crackers together in new S'mores Crunch cereal. A fantastic part of this complete breakfast.
Hi, want some cereal? S'mores Crunch?
There's no S'mores Crunch cereal.
There is now.
New S'mores Crunch, like a dream come true.
From the monsters of the past comes a new generation dedicated to reversing the evil image of their forefathers. Under the leadership of none other than Count Dracula, known as Big D, three teenagers form the Do-Gooder Group, named the Dracula. With special powers, they can transform into super mighty monsters and use their skills against all evildoers, especially the diabolical Dr. Dredd and his renegade rascals, Toad, Fly, Mummy Man, and Vampira, a group known as Ogre, the organization of generally rotten enterprises. It's right versus wrong, good over greed, niceness against naughtiness. That's the dedication of the terrific trio, Frankie, Howler, and Drac Jr., the Drac Pack.
What a spooky hotel.
Homey, isn't it?
It's blueberry.
With my hauntingly delicious cereal.
Wow, blueberry flavor.
With tasty marshmallows.
It hasn't a ghost of a chance when Count Chocula's here.
Oh, boy, a chocolatey flavored cereal.
With tasty marshmallows.
Blueberry.
Count Chocula. I picture a delicious breakfast. You too, can enjoy a good, nutritious breakfast with
Blueberry
Count Chocula.
I know, I hide myself in a giant computer with a lucky charm. A crunchy old cereal with a rainbow of marshmallow surprises.
Look, it's a crown! Oh, lucky
charm! Oh, this is delicious breakfast.
You know, a rainbow flavors every time. Strawberry, orange, lemon, lime.
Now, Skittles bite-sized candies are free, and specially marked boxes of Lucky Charms.
You know, a rainbow flavors every time, and Lucky Charms has them free inside.
Mysterious night, Toby Q appeared, bringing happiness. Toby Q has changed everything in our life. He's colorful, magical, lovable. Ruby, he's our friend. Ruby, he'll make big Q.
Hello, my name is Rubik.
Today we'll have a ball at breakfast with my delicious cereal.
Count Chocula.
Ah, music to my ears.
Delicious chocolatey flavor and tasty marshmallows.
Step aside, Count Clumsy, while I cut in with my ever-so-scrunchious Frankenberry. My strawberry-flavored cereal with tasty marshmallows.
It's a real hit.
Count Chocula.
Frankenberry.
You can enjoy this good, nutritious breakfast with...
Frankenberry.
Count Chocula.
Mm-mm. My super golden crisp cereal with 8 vitamins makes this nutritious breakfast really neat.
I just love that sweet, crispy wheat.
Well, ho, ho, ho. What's up, Croc?
Don't be bashful with that box, Sugar Bear. Put the pole in the bowl.
Time for a vitamin-packed punch. In case he bit off more than he could chew. I can't get enough of super golden crisp. It's got the crunch with punch.
Yeah.
That's Toucan Sam.
Whatever, Mac. I took a wrong turn last night. I'm starved. Where can a guy grab some breakfast?
Your wrong turn was right. Fruit flavors will satisfy your appetite. Come follow my nose.
He's got to be a shortcut.
It always knows. Ah, Kellogg's Fruit Loop Cereal with natural orange, lemon, and cherry flavors. 3 fun flavors to start your day. A part of this complete breakfast. Want more?
Sure, Mac. Fill her up. It's a jungle out there.
They're tough. Meet you up for a little game.
We'll take you on after this complete breakfast, including my vitamin-packed Frosted Flakes. They bring out the tiger in you.
For a flame in that, that ought to be good.
Frosted Flakes, good.
They're great.
You'll show us you're a tiger. Show us you can do.
Big tiger.
The taste of Tony's Frosted Flakes.
And
cheese. Bring the tiger in you.
Damn, I want me some cereal now. Gonna have me some cereal. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Back from the break. Yeah.
It's a joke. It's a friggin' carnival act.
Hey, I don't know what you're referring to, sir.
Now, Carnies!
Now, Bill, Fringe is back. Hey! I miss that doctor, Walter. Such a great guy.
He had a couple great lines this episode.
Yeah, he did. It starts with him dosing a little worm or something.
With LSD.
He's like, I'm dosing it. He goes, are you telling me you're giving it LSD? He's like, yes. He's like, I don't know what's weirder that it doesn't seem to faze me at all. But I love that kind of... And I love later, I have a clip here. Basically, what happens here is that whoever these secret people are, they found a way to put the common cold in you, but make it grow to an enormous size, the bug, right? And it works its way out of
that
you.
That was frightening.
The thing was scary looking. But let's listen to this clip, because it's quite hilarious. It's actually two clips melded together, so don't get confused there.
Spirited, isn't it?
Well, have you considered, killing it?
You can always kill it, son. You can't always bring it back.
You probably could.
That is true.
Do you know what I could go for?
Don't say food.
Cheesesteak.
How can he even think about eating?
I know, it's disgusting, right? And yet...
You want one, too.
Extra provolone, please.
Like father, like son.
Oh, come on, don't say that.
My theory is correct. I knew it. This organism was developed from the same material that Olivia stole from her captors.
We must let her know.
You sure?
My boy, I'm not even sure that we all exist on the same plane of consciousness, but yes, I believe so.
Walter, is that LSD?
LSD? Why would I? It's a decongestant. He is a giant cold virus, after all.
Right.
He's putting LSD on the thing. I guess that's his favorite thing to do, to put a dose on whatever creature he has with LSD.
I bet you that'd be fun, though, to, like, watch it.
That was so creepy, though, the way they slip it into your water. It's like the eggs, they said. You drink it.
Yeah.
When it reaches your stomach acid, it grows real big and kills you because it rips you open. And it
suffocates you as you...
it crawls out of your mouth. Oh, dude, that was effed up. But I love that show. It's a lot of fun like that, and I'm glad it's back. I missed it.
Yeah, it had some nice twists and turns.
Oh, yeah, when they're chasing the bug thing around, and Walter puts the
trash can right onto it.
He goes, this reminds me of my old days in lab. It's making me nostalgic. I love all that.
That guy is so great.
He is. He's fantastic. And that's why everyone should watch Fringe, because it's a fun show. And I think the story is going to get bigger and bigger, because they reveal that this double agent, when they finally catch him, he says... You damn it, we saved you. We did it for you. And it's like, what? You know, you just totally don't know. But that's
all for you, Damien.
Yeah, that's what J.J. Abrams shows do. They make you go, what? Now, let's talk about 24 real quick, Bill. 24, okay. Jack Bauer. He's undercover with Tony, working with a terrorist who want this device that controls weather, I think, like a James Bond villain. Something like that.
The CP. COPC?
The CPI or something?
Pulmonary
But the thing is that they need to kidnap an ambassador, Matomo, first. And he's locked himself in a safe room or a panic room with his wife. Well, in this scene,
I thought it was Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah. And what happens here is they can't leave without this guy, because they need him in order to meet the bad guy, Colonel Debacco, or whatever his name is, and then get the device and then kill that colonel guy.
So, I thought they needed him for their 3-on-3 basketball tournament.
Right. They're going to do that.
That's how they get the device, by winning.
They're going to do that before they kill him.
Okay. And Jack comes up with the genius idea of creating gas from household items.
Yeah, I love this. He's like, hey, I found the vent that goes into the panic room. Let's stick some gas in there. That'll weed him out. Let's check this out.
Gas him out!
He's the only one who knew we were grabbing Mutombo. He must have talked.
Sir, we need to go before they get here.
Not without Mutombo.
Those walls are 2 feet thick. Even if we blow a hole with a shape charge, they'll kill everyone inside.
I think I found a way.
Yeah, like what?
We can gas him out.
We don't have anything.
We'll find something. There's a ventilation system like straight into the safe room. If I can feed the gas through that, it'll flush them out.
The FBI is coming.
They won't be here for at least 15 minutes.
What are you talking about? How do you know?
If they knew anything before we got here, they'd have evacuated Mutombo.
It's just guesswork.
Attack teams are staged.
Man, Jack is so smart.
That's 21 miles from here with traffic. That gives us at least 15 minutes.
We're not leaving without Mutombo. That's what Dubak was paying us for.
You're seriously considering that?
Whoa.
What kind of gas are you talking about? Ammonium distrate. We can make it from basic household products. Do it.
Tacos are in season. I'm very gassy. Let me stick my ass up there in that vent. That'll work them out of there.
gravitas.
So
hold your hats. It's Choco.
So anyway,
here's some methane for you, Dikembe.
I love on basically the hot FBI agent tracks him down, but they capture her and they order Jack to execute her outside, right? So
yes.
Here's a great scene where he needs to execute her and fake her death.
I'm not going to beg for my life, Jack.
I'm doing what I have to. I don't expect you to understand.
I understand that you are a traitor and a murderer.
Turn around.
You're going to have to look at me when you pull that trigger.
I said turn around. Trust me, I'll get you through this alive. Get on your knees.
God.
He's gonna shoot her!
Second there, I didn't think you were gonna do it. Now bury her.
Oh my God. And I love this, he's burying her and her face is like, ah! He's like dumping the dirt
on. Being buried alive!
And the last shot, Steven, is so funny, is the camera from her point of view and Jack throwing the dirt on the camera. Love it!
Yeah, I saw him toss, do the shoot and everything.
And she's got the plastic over her face. She's got this look of horror.
And then the other dude helping Barry. Who's like,
Tony's like, oh, I'll help you. But I love
why is she looking at me?
Yeah. I thought you shot her in the head. Boy, it was awful.
But also, they have the weird thing with the first, what do they call, like, the first lady. He's the first man, the first mister, I don't know.
He's, the first dude?
He's the husband of the female president, and he's investigating his son that committed suicide. And Carly Pope is there, too, gave him some information. And, of course, his bodyguard is evil.
Mm.
Did you like that?
Don't you hate when that happens?
He drugs him with his coffee, and he's all catatonic sitting there. That kind of reminded me of that scene in Michael Clayton, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I can't move. And he's like, I know I give you something that'll paralyze you. When she comes up here, I'll stab her, and then you'll be blamed for her death after you kill yourself. He's like, oh, come on.
Shit. So, shit.
He's like, shit, man. You really got one over on me, man.
I can't believe you're doing this to me.
I'm screwed. So I thought he was going to have an old war wound.
Can you give me my coffee back?
Little do you know that this drug wears off fast in my system. I have fast metabolism. You're screwed, dude, in 5 minutes. So anyway, that's what I hope happens on the next episode. I don't even
know. Oh, yeah. Something will happen. They won't kill him. They can't kill him.
I know. But let's talk about bad cops on Smallville. That's right.
This was a very poignant episode.
The writers just watched that. Which Dirty Harry movie was it? Was it Magnum Force, where it's the bad cops on the police force?
I believe you're right.
Or The Enforcer. I get those confused. The Enforcer. It's one of those where Tyne Daly.
One of them had Cagney.
Yeah.
Or Lacey. And I think that was The Enforcer.
Okay.
Force is the
David Soul is a bad cop, and there's a group of motorcycle cops that are taking the law into their own hands.
And those motorcycle cops,
man, and apparently they're like that.
Dangerous.
They're like that in not in Smallville, but in Metropolis. You know, in Smallville, you got the nice wholesome cops who get killed a lot because they're like red shirts. But here, bad cops, Metropolis. And
I love the shields though that they have,
the diamond shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, and poor John Jones. This wouldn't have happened if he didn't have his powers, or he did have them, and he didn't help me and stuff. And I like that scene because they have Green Arrow say, "Oh, you're going to stay in here to feel sorry for yourself won't help anything. So let's go ahead and move on. You know, snap out of it."
Because the Green Arrow would know.
And you know how Green Arrow said, "I brought in my own doctor to take care of us." Wink, wink. Even though he's a Martian, was that Gaeta from Battlestar Galactica? Bill and I were.
Dude, it looked. It was like fleeting.
He would walk by the camera.
I swear it was him.
They never really showed his face very closely, but it looked just
maybe
like Gaeta.
Yeah, probably.
He even had he had a leg missing too, just like Gaeta.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that.
Poor Gaeta.
So I'm pretty sure it was. So Clark decides he's gonna investigate because him and Chloe determined that the round in John Jones came from a cop's weapon, a cop's sniper rifle.
Yes, you know, they keep them under the seat in case they need to pick off people.
Yeah. In case of a zombie infestation or something.
A couple of hundred yards.
Yeah, it was armor-piercing. So
just in case you need to assassinate a hostage taker.
Yeah. And I love he's partnered with this nice, wholesome guy. They go riding around. He even saves his life. And he even goes, one thing, what day of the week was this?
Because it was a Wednesday barbecue.
Because they were having a barbecue all of a sudden on the guy's front lawn. Like, it's not even
it was a mid-afternoon Wednesday barbecue.
Was it even in the backyard? It was on the front lawn, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
They're having a cookout. Hey, let's all meet for lunch in
my house.
Maybe
they didn't have a backyard.
We don't have a backyard. Let's have a cookout on my front lawn.
Cookout in the front yard before.
Yeah, but
hey,
on a Wednesday. It's like lunchtime on a Wednesday or something. And they're like, Clark, we heard about what you did. How? Like, 5 minutes has passed. So, hey, welcome to the club.
I love the little touch that the cop's son was the blue-red flash.
Yeah, I'm the blue blur. Blue-red blur.
Blue blur.
It's like, I gotta come up with a better name than that, man. So, anyway, they capture, apparently, this guy, who's his partner. He had a partner that was killed, and the guy got away. Well, they've just all received text messages that they've caught this guy. So he's like, Clark, come on. Oh, his name's not Clark. It's Joe. Joe, come on. We got to go. And this is what happens. They show up into a secret warehouse. They're beating the shit out of the guy until somebody shows up. Let's check it out.
Got you a little present, Danny.
Look who surfaced.
Oh, listen, I gotta quit it, all right? The judge let me off. No strings attached, all right? So,
you got off on a technicality.
Try this
string,
motherfucker.
Give any idea.
This technicality.
What you did to me?
Danny.
We may not control the system, but we definitely control the strings.
Please stop.
Oh.
He's a street controller.
Danny, he killed your partner. Don't hold back. Justice must be served.
Just gonna stand there, Foreman? Or you gonna man up and give your partner a hand?
Huh?
What?
It's Green Arrow!
Shocking Arrow!
Hey, now. Yeah, that was pretty sloppy the way he was like, get out of here. And his partner's like on the ground being electrocuted. He's like watching it like, what the hell? Why is Joe talking to Green Arrow? Ugh. Now, they also had a storyline with Lana and Tess Mercer. And I'm thinking there's no backstory really to Lana learning martial arts, but she was off making Street Fighter. Chun-Li.
Yeah, I think they went, hey, why don't we use some of that training?
When she was in China and when she disappeared.
Yeah, but it almost felt like they were like, let's just say that she learned karate making the movie. We don't have to have any background story here. So the viewer, as you're watching, are like, oh, she must have learned this in the movie Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, her and Tess Mercer are doing this knockdown, drag-out karate fight. And of course, Chun-Li gets a drop on her, right? She does that kicking thing, and she kicks her ass. But I thought it was pretty cool how she said, you need to see this. And she was like, I can see everything you see. Lex implanted your eyes with some kind of shit. And she's like, oh, my God.
wireless.
Yeah, Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi. And your optic nerve.
Yeah. Totally, and I thought they did a good job of that. The effect and everything, pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't anything like having a camera on a monitor.
If you found that out, like after a year, you mean somebody's been watching everything I do? Like,
yeah, I know exactly.
Even in the can, like, dude, when I blow my nose, you really want to see that, Lex? Huh?
When I drop a deuce, I wipe and then. Look in the toilet to see how big it was.
Oh, Lex, you want to see everything I do? How about this? He's like, oh! Look what I ate this evening. It was taco season today. Lex, you're like that?
I had a rice bean corn chipotle burrito.
Jason's new restaurant.
I ate a burrito out of season.
Oh. I see some fresh cilantro in that.
Oh, you want to see that, Lex, huh?
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it was. So, naturally, you know, one thing I want to talk about on this episode, too, Bill, is Clark knew he could save his partner, that he wouldn't go to the dark side, much like Anakin. And I love at the very end, the guy is going to kill Green Arrow. They're like, come on, take the shot. You got it. He's like, come on, you don't want to do this, man. And he's like, you're right, I don't. And he puts a gun down. So the guy's like, all right, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah.
And at the very end, after they thwart the bad cops and everything, the guy's like limping because he got shot. And he's like, the cops are driving, and he goes, hold on, I'm one of the good guys. And they do this close-up on Clark's face where he has, like, this shit-eating grin, like, oh, yeah, like, shucks, he's a good guy now.
My work is done.
It was so cheesy, man. Awesome. All right, so...
Yeah, it's funny how this show can go from one good episode to bad filler in the span of 1 week.
As long as it's entertaining, right?
Right.
Good stuff. I love the ocular implant thing. Got to have more of that. And how
that's some serious technology.
What did she put on a necklace that had like a
some blocking
a jammer? Yeah, I loved whenever she activates it, the screen goes to static, like a computer screen would go to static, and then in big red letters, signal jammed. It's like, oh, really? I had no idea.
My jammer.
Thanks for explaining that to me because I'm freaking clueless.
I know, it's disgusting, right?
You know what would have been great if instead she goes, "I'm sorry to do this," clicks that thing. All of a sudden, some horrible like 30-second clip of something just comes on a loop. You know, like
what would have been a nightmare is if she pressed the button and then Sabato Gigante shows up and he's got to watch Univision or
yeah!
for just, the rest of his
existence. They show Lex. He's like in some kind of chair strife. I was like, no. That would have been awesome.
Telemundo!
I always trapped having to watch old Smallvilles.
Season one, no!
The ultimate revenge.
No, better yet, it's the pilot to Aquaman. No!
Or he would have to watch Sorority Boys.
Yeah, the movie where he had hair.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about Lost. Lost is back. Hey, hey, hey. And,
it is back.
Last we left Lost was the island had vanished. Where did it go? First of all, Bill, I love how the episode began with that Marvin Candle, whatever his name is, real name.
Yeah.
I love how it was like a skipping record because later they reference a skipping record. But I thought that was really cool. And they go down in the orchid and they show that there's some kind of wall there. They're like, hey, we can't get through it. And he's like, this is where all the power is coming from. And they took some kind of like X-ray and you see that weird wheel thing that Ben turned.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. So, anyway, weird stuff's going on the island where they're talking about all their stuff vanished. Where is it? And, here our lovely doctor explains what's going on. Is it Dr. Faraday or Daniel Faraday?
Yes, yeah. That is his name. You are correct.
After a little coaxing by Sawyer.
First things first. Give me your shirt.
My shirt?
Yeah.
I really think we have far more pressing matters than me giving you a shirt. How about we just keep moving, okay?
How about we call a timeout so you can tell us what the hell's going on?
How about you trust me?
Trust you? I don't know you.
You really do not have time for me to try to explain. You have no idea how difficult that would be for me to try to explain this phenomenon to a quantum physicist. That would be difficult. So for me to try to explain whatever is happening...
Oi! What the bloody hell do you think
you're doing? Got it, Ginger. You're getting one, too.
Jocko! Jocko!
The island... Think of the island like a record, spinning on a turntable. Only now, that record is skipping. whatever Ben Linus did down at the Orchid Station, I think it may have dislodged us.
Dislodged us from what?
Time.
So that's why our camp is gone. Because the island is moving through time?
Yeah, either the island is or we are.
What?
And it's just as likely that we are moving, your people and us. And everyone in your group, you're all accounted for, right?
Not everyone. Locke.
Yeah, we also have Locke, who's separated from them. And I guess it's like they're going to the future, then they're going to the past, like back and forth. And he's in the past, and he sees that plane crash. Remember, Echo's brother was on that plane, wasn't it? Was that what
yeah.
it was?
Right.
And when he's climbing up there, Ethan is shooting at him, and he's like, Ethan, what the hell? And then, of course, he goes back to the future, and so the it's, you know, crazy shit going on. Meanwhile, back
it in... That's so interesting that it's not the island that's jumping, it's them.
Right.
So that, like, that lends a whole nother... odd aspect to what the island is.
I really like that the hatch was back because they're in the past and he's banging on the door and Desmond answers it. What are you banging on my door, brother?
What I want to know is, you know, he tells Sawyer to stop because he's, you know, he's not there. He can't, you know, but then he decides, okay, I hope this works. Like, I wondered what that was all about.
Also, I forgot about this. In the beginning, when they show that doctor, Marvin Candle or whatever his name is, Daniel Faraday's there as one of the workers. It's like he's been traveling through time checking the island out is what I kind of felt like. You know what I mean? He was there like, oh, excuse me. You know, the guy almost bumps into him. Yeah, he's watching everything that's going on. And what's cool is he tells Desmond in the past, he goes, you don't know me, but you will know me, and we're in a lot of trouble, so I need you to remember this. Then all of a sudden they show Desmond, like, wake up in bed, and he goes, I just had a memory. I love that kind of stuff on the show. And did you love the – was it like Weekend at Bernie's with Saeed?
Yeah.
Saeed's been shot with a dart, so he's asleep, and Hurley's taking care of him, and he's carrying Saeed with him everywhere. Dude, wake up! Come on!
They need to limit the Hurley stuff. Hurley is so irritating to me.
And I love you know, Cheech plays his dad, so he, like, brings his dad into it. And I really like the scene where his mom says, tell me the truth. I want to know the truth, because I know something's going on here. So finally he tells her the insane truth. And it's funny because it does sound completely insane. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, we're on an island. There's these people called the Others. And then we grouped up with the Others because there's these worst people. And, you know, there was this hatch. And she's like, I believe you. Because nobody can
make this shit
up. I
think she trusts him because, you know, he's her son. And
right.
She's been around him his entire life. So there's no reason to doubt him. And which is nice.
An interesting thing is we know that Saeed's working with Ben. So I wondered why Saeed told him whatever
Ben... Or was working with Ben.
Right, because he says whatever he asks you to do, do the opposite. Because they need to get Jack, Kate, Sun, Saeed, and Hurley, and Locke's body all together. It's the only way they can return to the island. And so he's trying to... Ben shows up to Hurley, who's wanted for murder now because he's all over the... Basically, Saeed takes these bad guys out, and someone takes a picture of Hurley standing there with a gun, and he looks...
So our society, too.
And it's funny, he has ketchup on his shirt, so it looks like he's got blood on him. And Ben is trying to convince him to come with him, and you think he is, because he's like, don't you want to be back on the island? None of your problems? You want to lie anymore? And it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally.
But then he does what Saeed said and does the opposite. So he runs outside and he tells the cops, I'm right here, arrest me, I'm a murderer. And I thought that was interesting. And Ben visits the mom from Brotherhood. I don't know if you know she's on that show.
No, I had no idea.
The matriarch from Brotherhood. And she's got this weird pendulum thing drawing lines on the floor. It was like on a map. It almost felt like I've seen that somewhere before. I don't know what it is, but I don't know. I've seen that, something like that somewhere, like a reference to something. But I don't know what the hell is going on. But obviously they're trying to find the island. And does it look to you like Sun is going to sell them out in a way?
It certainly does. I don't understand what's going on there. Maybe because she feels that she's been betrayed by them because of the death of...
I like the scene with Kate where she goes, well, it's kind of like you when you said you were going to get Jin, but you decided you couldn't, so Jin died. And she's like starts crying and makes her feel horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. They changed Sun, but I'm glad Loss is back. And I can't wait to see more, you know?
It's always enjoyable.
Love the characters. And what was funny? I don't want to forget about Frogurt because was it last season or the season before? It was like 2 years ago or something where they had these Lost webisodes. And there was this character of Frogurt in one of them with Hurley. And I was like, who's this Frogurt guy? Well, all of a sudden Frogurt is on this episode. And I thought it was so funny because Sawyer even says, yeah, okay, Frogurt. And he goes, my name is Neil. And I thought that was hilarious. But, of course, they had to show Frogurt get his, which I thought was funny. Because you know how they're shooting flaming arrows at him? Do you get the feeling they were way in the past, like there's some kind of natives on the island or something?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because who the hell is going to shoot flaming arrows?
I want to go...
Maybe it's the natives with the four toes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like some kind of weird tribe. And then later on, there's these other dudes... And they had these old-looking rifles, and they were like, chop her arm off! And it was like, who the hell are these guys?
They were British or something, right?
Yeah! They're going through... I don't know how long this is going to last, because, it looks like...
I don't know how long it can last for us.
Right, but I mean, I want to see the different times of the different people that occupied the island. It's a good chance for them to show us that, you know? But also...
Yeah, it's a really good way of storytelling the history of the island without really... getting deep into it.
And also, we know something about Locke is he will have to die to get off the island. So, whatever. I don't know. We'll have to wait to see more. But let's go... Oh, by the way, Lost is a game. We all know that, right? It's a video game. Now, let's go to Battlestar...
Bring that up again.
Battlestar Galactica, which I figured out. Battlestar Galactica, by the way. It's a video game.
I figured it out, too.
It's a game also, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on this one, remember they found Earth, and Earth is like a wasteland. A nuclear wasteland, and they've determined that they find old Centurions that don't look like their Centurions, Cylons, and the bones, they had Baltar, he said these bones are Cylon or whatever. So you think, oh my God, it was Cylons, the 13th tribe went there. And here's something interesting. Now, I've read an interview with Ronald D. Moore where they said, is this Earth? And he says, well, it's what they, silence, the 13th tribe found and called Earth. He didn't say, yes, it is our Earth. He said, it's what they called Earth.
Right.
So, well, it certainly doesn't look like our Earth from the...
From space, like the same continents. So I'm thinking a little twist here is that that's what they thought was Earth. That's what the 13th tribe found, and they deem this is planet Earth. But it may not actually be Earth. And they started a civilization there, and they eventually bombed themselves. I'm sure we'll find out more. But I'm saying that it doesn't necessarily mean that we all are Cylons or originally Cylons.
No, I think that's jumping to conclusions.
I think it's jumping.
The only thing that made me wonder is, and I could be way out in left field on this, but is Ty's wife an older version of Six?
Interesting. I don't know.
I mean, I was just like running through my head. Like, she's obviously a Cylon because of the reveal at the end of the episode.
She's over Six, certainly.
Since Ty is aging.
Right.
Yeah, if Ty is aging...
Why can't
she? Because we've seen flashback episodes.
Right.
Obviously, he aged whenever he was a Cylon on their Earth. So, and his... instant attraction to Six in the first half
of the
season.
He would look at her and she would be his
That's
wife,
very clever,
Ellen.
Bill.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, here's the thing.
It's just my thought. I don't know.
Well,
I could be...
This episode, basically, they're all... This is their goal to find Earth, and they're all pretty much like, well, this sucks. Nothing's here. Even the Cylons. I love Deanna's like, what else? I'm just going to stay here. There's nothing else to do.
Well, I mean, and also when Starbuck, she found herself.
Yeah, Starbuck finds
her. Yeah, that's a mind screw.
I love that Leoben's like, dude, what the hell?
He runs away. Shit, who the hell are you?
So what you say makes sense. If Helen is an actual older version of Six, she's not the fifth.
Well, it doesn't make any sense, but it means something.
I'm just saying she would not be the fifth, the missing Cylon.
No, she wouldn't.
Then the missing Cylon is still out there.
Right.
Possibly,
but here's the thing.
Possibly Starbuck.
But here's the thing, though. What I thought was interesting about this episode is it kind of showed that their goal, including the final five or whatever, it shows that really what it looks like now is it's nothing. All of our prophecies we're following, it's all screwed. It led to nowhere. There's nowhere to live here. They show Rosalind. She burns her little Bible thing, like our prophecies. Everyone's just like, they don't know what to do. And the final four having these weird flashbacks to when they lived on the planet and they saw
right.
themselves die. And I love the whole chapter there with Duala, D.
Oh.
She's real sad and heartbroken, but then she's babysitting and she's kind of looks cheered up. Everything's a little bit better. She helps Lee along how he tells the Quorum of 12 that we're now free from our prophecy. We can do whatever we want. You know, it's not destined and determined anymore. And how shocking was that scene? I wasn't expecting that.
Oh,
were you?
That was totally just out of left field. There.
She's Gate is there. He's like, "Oh, you look happy." She's like, "Yeah, I had a good day or whatever." And all of a sudden, she's blam, man. What
but you
the
need
hell?
Something when she
yeah,
took the
moment
ring
she
off.
Looked in that mirror and said, "You know, you had no idea what was coming to you." Looking at that picture of her as a little girl, I knew something was up.
Wow! And,
but I was shocked by it.
Me too.
I didn't expect that.
And really, when you think about it. Way back in season one, it must have been tempting. Like, I could just blow my brains out and end this hell right now. Because one thing on this show is it shows you there's not a lot of happiness going on.
Well,
that's
the goal was Earth and to...
Yeah, now where else do they have to go?
Now they think that they have found Earth, and Earth is a wasteland that's uninhabitable.
It just kills Adama because he gave everyone this dream of Earth. And that's where they go, and he just seems really upset. I love the part he takes his sidearm and he's walking down the hall, and there's people fighting.
Grab that guy's sidearm.
Yeah, there's
Give
people.
Me your
sidearm. Like, yeah, there's people slumped over. They don't know what to do, and he knocks on Ty's door. And let's check this out. I love this. Sit down, Cylon.
I think we should have that little heart to heart you've been pining for.
No.
Sit down, Cylon. Looks like you've got a head start on me, Bill. Looks like you still don't know when to shut your frackin' mouth. Follow orders.
Bill, I'm so sorry that I didn't have the guts to tell you when I first found out.
Frack you!
Whoa.
I always love that Ty sounds like a salty pirate.
You're a frackin' machine.
Both these guys have great voices.
Is that
oh, yeah.
How it worked? They program you to be my friend. Emulate all the qualities I respect. Tell me jokes. I laugh at them.
Bill. I was your friend because I chose to be. I wanted to be.
You know, Helen was smarter than I gave her credit for.
Don't go there, Bill.
Smarter than me. She knew from the beginning that there was something with you.
What?
That's why she went around fracking half the colonial fleet.
Shut your mouth!
Searching out, trying to find a man who had real blood in his main vein.
Shut your fracking mouth!
She came up to me once. Like a dog in heat. I could smell it. She smells so good.
Maybe she should have took a bath then.
It smells good.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking Adama's over the line here. And, you know, of course, that whole scene leads to him telling him, if you die, everybody's just screwed. They'll have nothing left. And it's kind of a nice little pep talk, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I was encouraged.
I love that line delivery of this, though.
Frack you.
Frack you.
You know what would screw everybody's mind is if they move on and then find out that Duala is the fifth Cylon.
Yeah. So basically,
like, oh, shit.
No, one thing through the history of this show is they've developed, like, there's 12 Cylon models. They determined that in the miniseries, right? Somebody left this piece of paper on Adama's desk that said, there are 12 models, right? So he's known that, and we still don't know who left that on his desk.
I'm about to say, Bill, with her killing herself, maybe she had a vision of herself dying.
See, I don't want to cheapen with that. What I think was she gave up and lost hope and blew her brains out. I don't think, but here's the thing.
Cylon can give up and lose hope and blow their brains out.
But what I'm saying is, what I like that the show did is because they kind of made this final five into a big deal. And in a way, I don't really care that much. In fact,
I don't think it matters in the grand scheme of things.
The way they revealed that, Ty had this vision on the beach where, you know, they told the story about foxes went out and they floated in the ocean. He has a talk with Deanna, and she's like, I'm staying here. I give up. I don't want to do anything. He goes carried out with the current, and it shows him standing in the ocean, and he flashes back when he lived there on the planet when their nuclear war was happening, and he sees Ellen, and Ellen's like, don't worry. We'll be born again. We'll see each other again. And then he's like, Ellen was the fifth. And in a way, I guess that could be anticlimactic, but in a way, I'm glad they're getting it out of the way so we don't have to keep wondering about it and just get on with the story, in a way.
Well, they've gotten it out of the way, so you think that, so there may be another, like you said, there may be a surprise.
I'm hoping not. I'm hoping that storyline's over, because I don't think it's that
important. Well, that's
what
I'm saying. They're getting rid of that as a storyline. Surprise.
But I kind of like...
Yeah, exactly. Steven's exactly right. Like,
that's true.
You think
it's
over.
It's almost like I'm saying about Earth. Like, that wasn't Earth. That's what they thought was Earth and named it Earth.
Right.
But that's not...
Exactly.
But that's the thing. I like the idea that they abandon all their prophecies and stuff like that and their mystical shit, and they just move on. I mean, it is kind of sad that Roslyn...
Well, Starbuck still thinks she's the harbinger of death for the human race.
Right. Yeah. She's even saying
so
that
she still believes in the prophecies.
Well, she's...
Was it clear that she was the harbinger of death for the humans or the Cylons or both?
She doesn't know.
She doesn't say.
I like she says, your hybrid told me I was the harbinger of death. What does that mean? He's like, she told you that? I gotta go. They're calling me for
dinner.
I'm
surprised you haven't told me that sooner. Bye.
Yeah, why didn't you tell me that
sooner? We could have saved so much time.
That's what I love about this show that... I like when a lot of stuff is happening. I felt like the first part of this season.
This is the best episode in a long time.
Yeah, I felt like the first season, there could be filler episodes. There's only 20 episodes. Why are you having filler episodes? I like that here they're kind of, you know, moving on and getting this storyline going. Because, you know, there's only 9 episodes left right now. And I'm interested to see what else happens. So I'm glad Battlestar Galactica is back. And it's funny because we can, you know, keep wondering what's going on. And by the way, I rubbed my eye while we were talking, and my contacts all behind my eye.
I thought so. You clammed up real quick. And I was like,
I've been messing with my eye. It's driving me crazy. Yeah. I'm going to have to do something about it. So
why don't you take a break and play a song or something and fix your contact?
I will. It'll just take me a second, okay? We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Sorry to do that to everybody, but hey, it's fixed now. That was a disaster.
I was jamming.
That's never happened before during the show. I've never had a problem with my contacts, but I just rubbed it the wrong way, and I was like, oh, shit. So I didn't mean to overpower the BSG stuff, but I was just thinking, like, maybe what they're doing here with Ellen being the fifth Cylon is they're kind of showing that it's not all pre-written what they're going to encounter. They have to make it for themselves in a way. I don't know what I'm talking about, but do you know what I mean? Like, Whatever. So
it's just like in Lost, how they can travel to the present and they can travel to the past, but they can't travel to the future because the future hasn't been written yet.
And I love how he says, no matter how hard you try to change what's going to happen, and they showed that before on the Desmond episode, where he tried to save that guy's life, and it doesn't matter. He's going to die if he's determined to. The same with Charlie. So he said, you can try to alter the past. Like they said, let's go warn him not to get on the helicopter. It's not going to work because it's already happened. It's very interesting. So, yeah, that's the shows, man. I was trying to think back that on the history of our show, back when we first started the show, we'd do Lost, Battlestar Galactica, 24, and like Alias. You know, we'd do all these shows in like one episode, but slowly they've gotten separated in the season, so we're not talking about them all at the same time like we are now. It's very
Which is nice.
It's a very special time, Steven.
Yes.
Very special. I think it deserves a golf clap.
Golf clap?
Golf clap.
Golf clap.
All right, Bill, what do you say we do some news?
All right, let's do some news.
All right, let's cue the news music.
Hey.
That's not
news time.
Let's do the news.
Sorry, that was my mush mouth.
Space herpy.
Frack you.
Oh, I almost forgot.
We're very sensitive about the space.
Sit down, Cylon.
When Duala dies, Gaeta gives one of the best medic line readings I've ever heard. Check this out.
Medic!
Awesome. Nice. That was beautiful. Love it. Almost as good as Johnny Rico from Starship Troopers. Medic!
And the Almost.
Guy, the guy's brains are on the floor. It's like, dude, he's dead. Medic ain't doing shit but getting a mop.
Stuff these brains back in his head.
Medic
fine.
Ain't doing nothing but getting a bucket.
Shut your fucking mouth.
Oh, my God. Sorry there, Ty.
Arr.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news?
All right, this cracks me up. In San Diego, there's some superheroes running around. Mr. Extreme, spelled with an X, and Midnight, spelled with a K-N-I-G-H-T,
Ooh.
Are not the only superheroes to make a go protecting San Diegans. In the 70s and 80s, there was a crusader named Captain Sticky, who squeezed 350 pounds into blue tights, gold cape, glittery boots. The former fiberglass contractor, also known as Richard Pesta, was credited with helping launch a statewide investigation into nursing homes and campaigning against rental car ripoffs and sugary cereal.
Oh. What? What?
Yeah, exactly.
For the new Stan Lee, Who Wants to Be a Superhero?
Yeah, Captain Sticky. anyways, moving on. Currently in San Diego, there's these two guys, Mr. Extreme and what was his name again? Midnight.
Midnight.
And they wander the sidewalks of the East Village, bustled with activity. People walking on to the corner store, homeless squatting in front of tents. They are armed with a belt full of gadgets, stun gun, pepper spray, handcuffs. And Mr. Extreme did what any superhero would do. He patrols the streets.
Oh, wait
by the
a
light
second. These guys aren't, like, just playing around. These guys are real vigilantes.
These guys are freaking serious.
Oh, my God. I didn't think about that. I thought they were just, like, goofballs, like, dressing up. Like,
no, they're, Mr. Extreme is a real-life superhero, part of an international online community of about 300 comic book fans who spend their free time fighting crime and doing good deeds for mankind behind the anonymity of a mask and a cape.
Smells like ass.
Wow. So are they? Have they?
I'm sure he smells a lot like that. And I guess these guys are everywhere. There's one guy named Dark Guardian who's a New York City guy. Wears black spandex bodysuit, black cape, hard shell mask. This is shocking to me. I had no idea. I guess they're connected via online networks, including the World Superhero Registry and MySpace. Of course.
MySpace?
Yeah. I guess they're sad because police automatically label them vigilantes. Mr. Extreme says, I say we're more costume activists. Vigilantes render punishment onto criminals. We don't harass people, don't violate their civil rights. First and foremost, we prevent crime. We do what we are allowed to do legally as citizens. So I can't believe this.
Wow, that's really cool, man. I wonder if there's one in Dallas.
I'm sure there is. What's funny is, you know, Ray Nagin, the New Orleans mayor, actually declared October 13th the Day of the Superhero after 250 of these wackos converged on New Orleans to meet in March. And he said, Nagin said, every little bit helps. They're actually encouraging this behavior.
Wow.
So there are, I gotta check out this, what is it again? This World Superhero Registry. Yeah, World Superhero Registry.
It sounds like something from Buckaroo Banzai. The World Superhero Registry.
It sounds like something straight out of the Civil War comics. I wonder if Tony Stark runs the World Superhero Registry.
Now, what was that one guy? Iron Jaw.
Iron Jaw.
Nice.
All right. Here's a couple of lunatics. In Orlando, the bride wore white, the groom wore a tux, and the officiant wore full body armor, inspired by the getup of a futuristic alien fighting super soldier known as
Space
who?
Herpy.
No, not the Space Herpy. He was dressed as Master Chief.
Master Chief, all right, from Halo.
Yes, on Saturday, Desiree Labrada and John Henry, better known to their fellow gaming enthusiasts as Sick in Day Head and Psycho Vandal, were married in front of family, friends.
Worse than geeks who just came up with, like, the worst handle?
Yeah.
Wow.
Friends, married in front of family, friends, and curious attendees of the Autronicon Video Gaming Expo at the Orlando Science Center. Yeah, the couple met online playing Halo 2, and the ceremony was a send-up to the game that brought them together. I just wanted my wedding to be a little more interesting than the average wedding, said Labrada, a recent graduate of Full Sail University. The media school that advertises everywhere. When she began planning the ceremony, I love that this was a woman that did this. When she began planning the ceremony, Labrada toyed with the idea of costuming herself and her husband-to-be as characters from Halo. Henry would be Master Chief, and she would be Cortana.
Nice, I'd like to see
that.
Yeah,
but she ultimately decided that she really wanted a traditional wedding gown. That's nice of her.
I totally would have liked to have seen her as Cortana. I wonder, like, in the reception, do they have, like, all rigged up on a LAN party or whatever? That'd be so dorky.
Do they have Spartan lasers?
Even fisting.
Huh?
Oh, now that would be interesting. All right. A Fort Worth, Texas woman.
A Fort Worth, Texas woman. All right.
Says she won $20,000 on a scratch-off lottery ticket, but was left empty-handed when a friend took the winning ticket. The woman, 34-year-old Nancy Charlez, told police she gave the winning ticket to a friend to take to a nearby gas station so she could see if it really was a $20,000 winner.
Oh, what a bitch.
When the friend returned, according to Charlez, she claimed that a man in a white pickup had taken the winning ticket from her. Charlez says, it's a bunch of bull corn.
Frack you.
Yeah, the Fort Worth Police and Texas Lottery Commission are investigating.
So it's, you know what? I'm going to go by myself. Give me the ticket. I'm going to go see if it's real.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll see if it is.
Shut your fucking mouth.
Then you just, all she's got to do is drive to the lottery place and say, I got this winning ticket. Let me turn it on.
Yeah, like she go, some man grabbed it.
There's nothing they can do. I mean, it's not like it's personal property.
That's not what I've been told.
Oh, okay. Wow. Here in Columbus, Ohio, a man was arrested late Wednesday after police said he stole a car and crashed into a building. Investigators said Richard Glover stole a car located on South Roy's Avenue on the city's west side just before midnight. He drove less than a mile before crashing into an Alcoholics Anonymous building. Behind Little, who lives near the crash site, said she saw the incident. I saw a guy coming down the street, and he hit another car, and then he hit the wall. I saw his face and asked him if he was okay. He said yes and took off. Glover, 38, was arrested nearby. He was charged with receiving stolen property and drug paraphernalia. Police found an open can of beer inside the car. Maybe he was trying to go to Alcoholics Anonymous and just... It's like, man, I need to see my sponsor. I just fell off the wagon. All right. Speaking of another drunken driver, a 13-year-old boy was arrested at 2:30 a.m. in Palmerston, I believe this is in Australia, after the second car accident and recorded a blood alcohol. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped the first line. So he's 13 years old. They arrested him for drunk driving, stealing three cars and crashing two of them. He was arrested at 2:30 a.m. after the second car accident and recorded a blood alcohol of 0.123.
Whoa.
Pretty low.
Maybe he's watching, like, Sesame Street, 0.123. I'm drunk and I know how to count. Police say the teenager crashed one car into a parked vehicle, then a fence, and was chased down on foot by Palmerston officers when he tried to flee the accident scene. Police say seven other drunk drivers were caught overnight, including a 31-year-old who was caught behind the wheel with a .213. Wow. What's up with Australia, man? 13-year-old kids getting all drunk, driving all over the place.
I think that's the legal age there to drink, isn't it? 13?
I wouldn't doubt that.
That's not what I've been told.
Okay. Now here's, it up, okay?
Criminals come in all shapes, sizes, and types. This criminal is, really special, especially being in Nigeria. They're holding a goat on suspicion of attempted armed robbery. Vigilantes took the black and white goat to the police, saying it was an armed robber who had used black magic to transform himself into a goat.
Foggy, that's goat, not ghost.
To escape arrest after trying to steal a Mazda 323.
What?
Let me repeat that in case anybody missed it. Vigilantes took the black and white goat to the police, saying it was an armed robber who had used black magic to transform himself into a goat to escape arrest after trying to steal a Mazda 323.
What?
The group of vigilante men came to report that while they were on patrol, they saw some hoodlums attempting to rob a car. They pursued them. However, one of them escaped while the other turned into a goat, state police spokesman Tunde Mohammed said.
Joke. It's a friggin' carnival act.
I like the cop's name.
Tunde Mohammed.
That's the bad guy from 24, damn it.
It is. We cannot confirm the story, but the goat is in our custody. We cannot base our information on something mystical. It is something that has to be proved scientifically, that a human being turned into a goat. Belief in witchcraft is widespread in parts of Nigeria, Africa's most populous nation. Residents came to the police station to see the goat, photographed in one national newspaper on its knees next to a pile of straw. You know what? They need to take Jack Bauer back to Africa and interrogate this damn goat.
You're right. They need to totally...
He would get the information out of it.
Yeah, what is it you want with this?
We're talking about innocent children.
I'll poke your eye out with this pen.
I'll move it. Yeah!
I'm going to shock you with lamp cord.
Get on your knees.
I don't think this goat's talking.
Oh, he just put it down.
Well, that's what happens. When you don't talk, you get shot. All right, one last story. Unbelievable. Portsmouth, a man... A month after he was thrown out of the city's homeless shelter for having sexual relations with a Raggedy Ann doll. Police.
I didn't think we could get better than the goat.
Yeah, this.
I know, it's disgusting, right?
One hell of a. At least it wasn't a Jungle Jane doll with a succulent anus. Police say Albert Duffy taunted members of the public and police at his new residence, the Brewster Street Rooming House. Duffy, 45, is scheduled to appear in Portsmouth District Court Monday on a violation-level charge of disorderly conduct and a Class A misdemeanor count of resisting arrest.
Yeah, like what?
Police alleged that on December 31st, 2008, he continually taunted the public and police in an attempt to instigate a physical reaction and continued to do so after being instructed by police to stop. The resisting arrest charge alleges Duffy pulled his arms away from Officer Wayne Butcher while the officer attempted to take him into custody. Duffy filed a motion with the court asking that his case be continued on Sunday, May 21st of the 4th of July, stating he wants to find a job before his arraignment while citing a thyroid condition. Yes, the thyroid condition made him fuck a Raggedy Ann doll.
Smells like ass.
Wow. How does he... A thyroid condition, needs to get a job, and the Raggedy Ann doll... You guys got a lot of problems, is what I'm thinking.
Oh, my gosh. In late November, Duffy was served a no-trespass order by staff at the Crossroads House homeless shelter for his alleged sexual activity with the rag doll. While police attempted to locate him, he was described as wearing a flag on his head attached by a seatbelt. Yeah. All right, that's news.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news. Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. But you never look at a Raggedy Ann doll the same way again.
Yeah, me neither. That's pretty scary. What could he have possibly done with those?
I don't even want to try to think about it.
Even fisting.
No, stop it.
No. Oh, my God. Then it would be a hand puppet.
That would be awesome. All right, let's do DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs! Hell yeah!
Frack you!
Was Stephen on the other side of the room yelling into your microphone doing that?
No, could you not hear him?
Barely.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's do it
but
again.
It was fine.
Ow!
Oh no.
Let's do something. I can't. Start
there
over.
You go.
Steven, you're fired.
Wipe out.
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs!
Frack you!
Let's do some DVDs, let's do some DVDs, let's do some DVDs, 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 HD, Blu-ray, standard definition, DVDs.
Thank you, Tiny Tim.
I have some anonymous voicemail I got.
Tiny Tim calling from hell.
Tiptoe through the DVDs. All right, Bill, DVDs!
All right.
Hey, 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 I'm Steven A.
Awesome.
All right, first DVD, the budget DVD of the week, $6.99, The Adventures of Super Mario Brothers 3, The Trouble with Koopas.
Huh? 3?
I have never seen this. I don't know what it's about. But it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shorts, I guess all set in the world of Super Mario Brothers 3.
This sucks.
Okay.
Looks cool.
Is Captain Lou Albano anywhere near it?
No, I don't think so, so we're safe.
Oh, good.
We don't have to watch him dance over the credits.
Thank
Ooh,
God.
Mario!
Man.
All right, next DVD, the all-new Super Friends Hour,
what?
Season 1.
What is this? What era?
It's 1977. It was the second Super Friends show.
Awesome. Is it the one with Wonder Dog and the two teenagers?
Yeah. Well, this was the one with, This was the one with the Wonder Twins and Gleek and...
Oh, they were on that year? I thought they were in the 80s
yeah.
or something.
Gleek!
I always loved Gleek.
Frack you!
Oh, sorry.
Poor Gleek.
Not a fan of Gleek.
Frack you! Sit down, Cylon.
Wait a second.
Gleek is the fifth Cylon!
Gleek is the fifth Cylon? Wait, he's more of a... Daggett, isn't he? That's a gay Cylon. A Daggett. Never mind.
Shut your fucking mouth!
God! How many episodes are on this box set, Bill?
22.
Does it have a Batman or Wonder Twins commentary or anything?
No, but it needs one. This is where Xena changed into a bucket of water.
Form of a griffin! Form of a bucket of water.
Form of a fire hose.
I know, it's disgusting, right?
Yes.
All right, moving on. In case you've been missing Mayim Bialik, Blossom
been.
Season 1 and 2 is now available
yes!
on DVD.
Yes! Blossom!
You can watch her dance around like a spaz in the opening credits.
Oh, boy. Whoa.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty good Joey impression, huh, Steven?
Oh, boy.
Hmm. God damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet shit.
Huh? What? Blossom? I always had a crush on Six. Wasn't she hot?
She was cute.
Oh, Jenna Von Oy? Yeah.
Oy! Oy, oy, oy. Jenna Van Oy!
Oy! Oh!
Whatever happened to her?
She's still on TV.
She did shows on UPN for a while.
I hope she didn't plump up like Blossom did.
No.
No, she's
I don't even think it would matter if Blossom plumped up.
Smells like ass.
Good God, man!
All right, next DVD is Perfect. Cheers, the final season. Why not relive Cheers? And...
making their way in the world today sure would help a lot.
I hate that new Dr. Pepper commercial using that song.
Yeah, what the hell is that? Don't even try to pull on my nostalgic heartstrings to get me to drink your horse shit.
Easy.
Yeah.
Oh. Easy.
Oh, Steven's drinking Dr. Pepper. Sorry, Steven. Sorry, didn't
All right,
to,
moving on.
That's right, it's toilet water. I drink Pepsi.
All right, for you fans of the Kirk Cameron,
who is
Fireproof.
The biggest fan of Kirk Cameron is God.
Yeah, I would say so.
The master.
He is doing God's work.
Steven,
so Kirk Cameron
Dr. Pepper so
is
loud.
A heroic fire captain.
A heroic fire captain! Mike Seaver?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
He values dedication and service, but I don't think he believes in God, and his wife does. And
you know, the easiest way to start a fire, Bill, you know what it is?
Gasoline.
Well, I'm glad Chocolate Luke finds that funny. Because arson is not funny.
So where does this fireman where does this fireman gain his faith at? How does he?
I have no idea. I don't really care.
What is it called again?
Fireproof.
Hell yeah, I'm gonna check that out.
Chocolate Moose better stay far away from that movie.
Oh, I love Chocolate Moose, man. The guy's my hero.
I'm really interested in this Hulk versus. It's a 2-disc thing on DVD and Blu-ray. It's Hulk versus Wolverine and Hulk versus Thor.
Whoa! Who did the? Is it like one of those Marvel straight to video type of deals?
Yeah, it's released by Lionsgate, which is not necessarily a good thing. Chewie likes Lionsgate. All right, so the first one, Hulk versus Wolverine, it says, the Incredible Hulk has been tearing a line across the Canadian countryside, leaving a swath of destruction in his wake. He must be stopped at all costs. There's only one man up to the job, Wolverine.
Wolverine! You know,
and, of course, the second one is, with the forces protecting Asgard at their weakest, Loki the trickster seizes the opportunity to destroy his cursed stepbrother, Thor, once and for all. In an epic battle that pits gods against monsters, the mighty Thor is forced to clash with the only creature that has ever been able to match his strength, the Incredible Hulk.
Now, I was going to say, it sounds like these are based on actual comic book stories. Wolverine's first appearance was in The Incredible Hulk, where he fought The Incredible Hulk. So it sounds like they made a cool animated movie with this. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I think they're both like 40 minutes. There's two commentaries. It doesn't specify who they are. It looks like the writers and then producers.
Can anybody tell me what the sound effect is? Bill, you might know what it is.
Is that from Super Friends?
No, close.
I don't know.
It's from Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Whenever they do like a change, like the next chapter or switch to a location, they would play that music.
I need that for whenever I edit Top Chef clips. So it's not so abrupt. We can just put that in between the cuts.
Meanwhile, back at the kitchen.
Back at the ranch. All right, moving on. I just have to mention this because it's so tragic. Jackie the Joke Man Martling's A Safe Distance from Genius.
What?
Why not watch 140 minutes of Jackie telling terrible jokes that we've all heard a million times in a million different ways?
Wow.
The guy will do anything for money.
Yeah, but he probably quit the highest paying amount of money he did. That makes no sense.
Sounds a little bit egotistical.
Next DVD is Lakeview Terrace. Sam Jackson playing his crazy cop.
It's a romantic movie, isn't it? What kind of title is this, Lakeview Terrace? It sounds like a romantic comedy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like that movie from the early 90s with Michael Keaton playing the crazy guy. What the hell was that called?
Some Heights.
Yeah, Pacific Heights.
Yeah, Pacific Heights.
Yeah, instead it's Samuel Jackson harassing this couple.
Yeah, it's a white guy and a black girl.
Yeah, what the hell?
And he's like, I don't like no white boys.
Yeah, basically,
I'll kick your ass, honky.
He's on some kind of power trip because he's a cop and he doesn't like them in the neighborhood. So it's basically Samuel Jackson harassing people for... It looks exactly like that movie with Ray Liotta, Kurt Russell, and Madeline Stowe, Unlawful Entry. It looks like a remake of that.
And it's produced by
That's
Will
all
Smith.
You
oh, hell yeah. That's all you have
to
say.
Yeah, to get
Will
this
Smith.
Directed by our favorite, How to Get Burned, Neil LaBute.
Bitch.
Wow, I love Neil LaBute.
How to Get Burned, How to Get Burned!
Indeed. What happened to this guy's career, man? He was making movies like the...
Somebody Flushed the Toilet on it?
The Club with Men or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think I've ever liked any of this guy's movies.
I can't say I've liked them, but some of them are good.
How to Get Burned. How to get burned!
That's my favorite movie. I take it back. Wicker Man.
Oh my god, is that movie hilarious? I can watch that movie over and over again and just laugh my ass off.
This sucks.
All right, moving on. From the creators of The Evil Dead and Army of Darkness comes Mantis: The Complete
Frack
Series.
You.
I remember Mantis, yeah.
Yep, Carl Lumbly.
Carl Lumbly, yeah. He was like a crippled guy, but with this cool super mantis suit, he could walk.
Yep.
Awesome. I think as far as I got was the pilot episode, but still. Awesome.
Well, hell,
concept.
Now you can catch up on everything, all 1,080 minutes of it.
Holy crap, that's a lot of mantis. That's a lot of bugs, Steven.
That is.
Yeah, like what?
Awesome.
All right, moving on. Mary Poppins, the 45th anniversary edition. What I don't get is it's on DVD, yet they're not releasing it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, why even bother? I mean, seriously. I heard that Disney's going to start doing Blu-ray first, then DVD. I think they've got the right idea.
That's a better idea. I would agree with
that. Are you a fan of Mary Poppins, Steven?
Oh, yes.
Frack
that
you.
Was very sincere.
Yes.
No. Not a fan.
I remember seeing it as a kid and being charmed by it.
You guys are just so full of it's like amazing.
So all right, moving on. Pink Panther Classic Cartoon Collection, Volume 1, 2, and 3. I always liked these.
This so I am a fan of, yeah.
And the Anteater?
The Anteater.
Yeah, volume 5 of it is The Ant and the Aardvark.
Sweet. Love that. Love
so,
it.
And these are only like $9 a piece, so I might actually, I'll rent them, and then if they're good, I might buy them. They're also releasing all the Peter Sellers Pink Panther movies. You can buy them separately or in the Pink Panther film collection.
How do you guys feel about those?
Okay. I mean, not a buyer. Yeah. A renter. Yeah.
There's a certain one I remember more than any others, and I don't even know what it's called, so I won't even get into it. So, yeah.
Like what? The Pink Panther Strikes Back or Strikes Again? Or...
Yeah, one of them where he's in a suit of armor or something. I can't remember.
I don't even remember that one. All right, moving on. Pride and Glory, Colin Farrell, and what's his name? Ed Norton.
Oh, yeah. I love those actors, but what was this movie? It looked like a movie that had been shelved for 2 years, and they just released it just to get it out there.
Yeah, I think it's a shit movie that was co-written by Joe Carnahan, directed by this Gavin O'Connor.
I mean, it sounds like talented people involved, but what happened?
I think it was one of the last movies that New Line made before it.
They went bankrupt over the Golden Compass or something?
Yeah. Rock and Rolla, the Guy Ritchie film with King Leonidas.
Oh, yeah, Gerard Butler.
Yeah. And it's got a pretty good cast. I have it, but I haven't watched it yet. Andy from Apocalypse Hollywood watched it and said he enjoyed it.
Not that kind of rock and roller.
Rock Rocket!
That's Rocket, not rock and roller. We need some
stereo's unnatural.
All right, what other DVDs do we have, Bill?
That's it. Thankfully, that's it. That's all the DVDs that I will be covering this week.
All right. Well, thanks for doing the DVDs, Bill.
You're welcome.
Frack you. Sit down, Simon.
All right. Well, thanks for doing the DVDs.
Golf Frack clan. You.
Golf clan.
Thank you. Good night. Here, I'll
dare you marginalize my pain. We have not exhausted that enough.
Frack you.
Alright, everybody, that was episode 150 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you. Extra long show for everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. We talked about so many different shows, and shows we didn't talk about, we still love, like Burn Notice, and I even like that show Flashpoint, Bill. It's a highlight of my...
I do. I like, what's his name? Colin Tawny?
Enrico Cantaloni Tony.
Yeah. Enrico Cantaloni.
Yeah. He's like a SWAT team guy. And I got to tell you this much about the show alone. It is gorgeous in HD. I don't know what they do.
Is.
They film it with this pristine lens on a Sony. And shouldn't you watch it on a Sony, Steven?
And that yes. Amy Jo Johnson is held up quite nicely.
Yes.
Over the years.
And it's got the guy from this week's Smallville in it, too. The guy who turned out to be a good cop, and it really pleased Clark.
I'm one of the good guys.
And also, hey, I'm watching Mad Men on Blu-ray. You know, I don't know. It's like it wins Golden Globes and Emmys. What is this show? What is this show about? I watch it. I'm like, you know, I think people are right about this.
People
it's
are
pretty
missing
good.
This.
They're like, I have no idea what this is about, but it's good.
Yeah, it's like a what?
And everybody smokes.
A what?
No, dude, that's an understatement. Everyone has a cigarette in their mouth, even the kids in the show. It's crazy.
Like the toddler.
A 3-year-old
even babies,
with a cigarette.
Even babies are like, pfft. But back in the 50s, everyone, I guess. Toasted.
It's alive with flavor.
Hey, I'm in Marlboro country.
My favorite is always the Flintstones cigarette. Hey, Bonnie, this sure is a smooth and domestic blend.
It makes me think of that that bit they do in The Incredible Shrinking Man, or The Incredible Melting Man, where the girl asks to have a puff of the cigarette. She stomps on it, and the kid's like, and Mike Nelson makes that comment, don't do that to my cigarette.
Yeah, it's got the kid smoking.
It's so funny. It's smooth.
Yeah, it tastes so good.
Alive with flavor.
Well, if anyone would like to send us an email, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. We received some nice emails this week, and I want to thank everyone for doing it. Send more. Should I start reading emails on the show? I never really do every once in a while, but...
If they make them interesting,
if they're good,
maybe.
Yeah.
If you fill them with just praise, yes, I'll read them.
But don't kiss our ass too much, because then we'll think less of you.
Yeah. Also, critique. Tell us what you didn't like about the show.
Tell us the shows that you want us. Maybe we missed a show that you guys like.
Frack you.
Oh, okay.
Easy.
Well, also, go to nowheremulberry.com. There you'll find links to our forum.
and Mulberry Old School. Mulberry Old School is all of our old shows, 1 through 149. No, it's not really that much. It's 1 through 100 and something, and then our regular feed has the other shows. So if you want to check that out. Also, if you want to check out, you'll see on there, the Lunchtime Show. Want to listen to all those old shows? Bill, also, remember when we used to do Mulberry After the Show? You can find links to that, too. So there's a bunch of stuff to listen to. In fact,
now they just get all the After the Show.
Yeah. In fact, we probably, yeah, you can find the two Oscar shows we've done also on there. Decide if you want to hear any more of that crap. You know?
Oh, really?
Does anybody want to re-listen to two old Oscar shows?
Yeah. So I don't think anybody can get through this now. They're too dated. Am I right?
They're too boring.
Yeah. It's just bad. What do you think, Steven? Pretty bad?
I mean, maybe if there was like a video accompaniment. But just us commenting on, it's just so ridiculous.
We needed to include more, some kind of like, you know, involve, maybe with more call-ins, like involve people calling in, talking about.
I wished that Credo would call in more.
Right, me too.
Even
yeah.
Frack you.
Okay, well, that's the show, episode 150. Thanks everybody for listening, and Steven has these parting words.
I have parting words, really?
Mm-hmm.
Nope, those are them.
There they are. Thank you for listening.
Smells like ass.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for Lost in Mulberry.
Even fisting.
Shut your fucking mouth!
Now this is podcasting.
I know, it's disgusting, right?
I don't know, Credo. I'm blacked out after Michael Jackson pulled the lever on the trap door. Must have spiraled down into some sort of dark prison cell.
Yeah, and we're all chained up to different areas of the room. There's only that solid door leading out.
Look, there's a camera in that corner, and a monitor in that one. You know, I never would have guessed that Michael Jackson would be weird enough to become a Scientologist. Hey, Jason, got any ideas on how to get out of here?
Steven's high-tech body armor has to have something on it. If not, his willpower to sit through a lot of bad television is strong enough to snap these chains.
Sorry, Jason. That last season of Wife Swap did me in. And besides that, I just turned 40, and that's when my strength mode was due to expire.
Not to sound negative, guys, but we're all going to die.
Look at all these corpses still chained to the floor. They're all clutching their ears.
That one looks like he sawed off his own leg to free himself.
Or maybe the leg sawed off his body.
Look, over in that shadowy corner. Who are they?
It's the McKenzie brothers!
I'm Bob McKenzie, this is my brother Doug. How's it going, eh?
What are you two doing here?
Yeah. Did you bowl lure you hosers to this volcano with fatbacks and donuts?
He told us that he could pay us $10.
Mr. T and the doc must be in another cell. I can't find him. Well, we'll have to rely on the Eugene bot to help us get out of this mess.
He's powered down. If I could reach him, I'd give him a kick.
I can reach him. Here, I'll kick him in the nuts and bolts.
Look at his view screen. He's dreaming of Vanessa. And it looks like she's upgrading his motherboard.
Kick him harder, Jason. Wake up, you filthy robot. We heard you dreaming of Vanessa.
Look, up on the monitor. I think it's going to play something.
Oh, way to go. Sit back.
The screen is showing some sort of ugly face. It's white, stiff, and painted up like a clown, just like Barbara Walters.
It's all robotic and creepy, like some sort of retarded mannequin. Is it Tara Reid?
No, Mick. It's an evil puppet of Michael Jackson.
Mary! St. Joseph!
It's Salacious Wren from Big Brother!
Congratulations. You are still alive. Most people are so ungrateful to be alive. But not you.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, my brother, you're nude.
Forget it, Doug. Michael Jackson is into a more mature type of toddler.
Shut up, Bill. I'm accessing my Firefly database to see how Jane would resolve this.
Cram it in your carburetor, you glorified hemorrhoid. You've been nothing but a pain in my...
Kiss my shiny hiney.
Calm down, you two.
We're not nude. We could be nude.
Alicia, you showbiz wash-up, before the world is overrun with Scientological zombies and the mind-wiped Eubolian thuggies of L. Ron Hubbard, like Tom Cruise and Charles Manson.
I want to play a game.
I thought we were too old. Quick, everybody, sit down.
I think he wants to kill us, Bill.
Whew, that I can handle.
I trust that you are all wondering where you are. I can assure you that while your location is not important, what these walls offer for you is important. Salvation.
Crap it!
If you earn it.
I just grabbed a memory card!
Hopefully what the walls offer is a couple of tacos. I'm starving.
Me too. Hey, Doug, you guys been here for a while. What have you guys been living off of?
Booger nuggets.
Yuck. No thanks.
I sure am hungry, though.
I think you can begin.
Well, the monitor just turned off. So what now, Credo?
Let's see. We're in a room, all chained to the floor in different areas. Look, there's a hacksaw by Doug McKenzie. I think Michael Jackson wants us to saw off our limbs to escape, just like at the Neverland Ranch.
I'm willing to saw someone else's leg off.
Quit looking at me like that, Bill.
Come on, Credo, I was only joking. Mick?
I couldn't be happier to help, Bill, but I think I'll pass.
Listen, music is coming from the speakers. Oh no, it's Piping Jacko's lame post-thriller musical attempts. No wonder these corpses were all clutching their ears.
And rears.
If we don't get out of here soon, we'll either be dead or worse. We'll become mindless zombie-like children of the Neverland Ranch.
Look, Doug sawed his leg off.
So that's a good game to play. Way to go.
Quick, Eugene Bot, use your medical laser to put Doug's leg back on. Then we'll get out of here.
This whole subplot is stupid.
It smells all barbecue-y.
Wait a minute. If Eugene Bot is lasering Doug's legs back on, can he laser our chains off?
His lasers don't work like that.
Take off, Credo, you hoser.
Get out. They do, too.
No, Bob. Don't aim his laser at that chain.
Whoa, look. There's a hole blasted in the wall behind the monitor.
The mannequin dummy was sitting behind the wall, too. Michael Jackson must have been controlling him and then took off. Sorry, McKenzie's. I meant take off.
He was watching us through this peephole.
You call that a peephole? That was in the 8th grade. The girls' locker room was...
This is inappropriate.
Great. Look, Salacious Wren is still sitting on his shoulder.
I'm sorry. I really am.
I don't know what this thing is, but... it's delicious. Hey, Stu, you want some?
No, thanks.
It's kind of stringy, but... Oh, guys, look, I found a key to our chains in it. Guts!
And I'll leave you in this room to rot.
Sorry, freak. We just found your key, and now we're coming after you.
I don't know if you can hear this, Jacko, but your mannequin has just developed a foot fetish.
We got the key. Let's get out of here. Thanks for your help, McKenzie Brothers.
So we're not morons.
Compared to Scientology and anything written by Uwe Boll, you two are Einsteins.
All right, the chains are off. Let's unlock this big metal door and get out of here.
Okay, good day.
Shh, we need to listen at the door.
We can talk quieter.
Eugene Bat, stand in front of us and open the door.
Oh, can I make helicopter noises? Please.
Get out of the way, you pile of junk.